It's Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. We're only days away from the 250th anniversary of our republic. Lock yourselves in and share the live feeds now.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today. Real time, uncensored, unstoppable.
Share the link.
AlexJonesLive.com.
Share the link.
Take a stand. Share the link.
Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
And now, Celebrity Jeopardy with President Trump.
Welcome back to Jeopardy X with Don, Alex, and our newest contestant, Gavin, who gives me the creeps. Anywho, here are the categories. Leading off, we've got women in politics. What a mess, right? Followed by January 6th. Then we've got industry standard NPC catchphrases, followed by Creed lyrics, great band, one of my favorites. Then it's fake conservatives. We all know the type. And last, it's the N-word. A lot of words that start with the letter N, so keep that in mind. Gavin, you're up against some fierce competitors, but you select first. Go ahead.
Let's do NPC catchphrases for $400.
A favorite saying of NPCs in recent history. We're all in this together. Let's flatten this. Yes, Gavin?
What is the Pacific Palisades?
What an odd thing to say. Good Lord. Yes, Alex?
What is the curve?
That's the one. 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Boy, was that a lie. What's our next category, though?
Let's do Creed lyrics for $600, Alex.
Hello, my friend. We meet again. It's been a while. Where should we this? Gavin?
What is f***ing over the taxpayer?
What an airball. Yes. Don?
What is begin?
That's right. Don, you've got the board.
Women in politics for $800, Alex.
Now that's a body count. This lady politician was supposed to win the 2016 presidential election, and in the late 90s, her husband got fellatio in the Oval Office.
That'd be Killary, a.k.a. Hill Dog. I mean, who is Killary?
The judges are giving me a thumbs up. Also, I'm not sure if you've heard, but I think Hillary's had a lot of people murdered.
I'm well aware. Infowars.com, but let's go with January 6th for $1,000.
They called it an insurrection. They called it a threat to our democracy. They called it the worst thing that's happened to our country since 9/11. However, January 6th was this. Yes, Gavin?
What is an assault on trans kids?
Embarrassingly wrong. And I suspect that you're a pervert. Yes, Don?
What is an unguided walking tour for unarmed senior citizens?
Perfect response. Don, go ahead.
Let's try fake conservatives for $800, Alex.
This South Carolina congressman has never heard of a war in the Middle East. He didn't want to fund. Also, he's a bit of a poll smoker and has a woman's name.
Easy money, Alex. Who is Lindsey Graham?
Bingo. Lindsey loves raw tube steaks and subverting the Constitution. Don, what's our next category?
Let's go with the N-word for $600.
Answer, Daily Double. Don, what'll your wager be?
I'm all in, Alex.
This N-word used to be out of fashion, but it's making a comeback, and it's all the rage in some circles of political extremists.
Those are some nasty, nasty people who use that N-word. Very disgusting individuals. That N-word, however, is Nazi. Sorry, what is Nazi?
Nazis don't exist, but they call people the name to justify harming them. It's as clear as day to see the dynamic at play, unless you're retarded. Don, next category, go ahead.
All right, start your engines. We're about to go to break, and hundreds of radio stations will join us at 6 after on the other side. Remember, this is a participation information warfare sport. When you share the live feeds on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJM Live, when you share the live feeds at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, that's our new headquarters there. In the info war, it changes the world. All right, I'm going to refrain from getting into what we're going to cover until we come back, but it's all spectacularly important. Some of it's great, some of it's horrible, some of it's ugly, some of it's beautiful. But it's all on the table. Huge guest, your calls, and more. July 1st, 2026. Our birthday is only 3 days away. 250, baby. We'll be back.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexJonesShow.com.
Packing all my things for the summer. Lying on my bed, it's a bummer, cause I didn't call when I got your number, but I liked you a lot. Slipping on my dress and soft filters. Everybody said you're a killer, but I couldn't stop the way I was feeling the day your record dropped, the day I saw your white Mustang. Your white Mustang. The day I saw your white Mustang. Your white Mustang. Caught up in my dreams and forgetting I've been acting like I'm again, cause you held me in your arms just a little too tight, that's what I thought. Summer's meant for loving and leaving.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is July 1st, 2026. On this live Wednesday transmission, we are 123 days, 10 hours into this disastrous war that Israel drug us into, and the Israel AIPAC foreign lobby began heavily to demonize everybody during Midnight Hammer 13 months ago when we pointed out this is to train us to get ready to go to full war and sleepwalk us into it, that we're all Hitler and we're anti-Semites and we're evil and we've got to be censored. And there are certainly some people that, you know, we're bashing Israel over Gaza and the war and Iran because they inherently just hate Jews. But the Israel lobby consciously uses the anti-Semitism label to go after any opposition so that they can get what they want. And that's wrong. And I make it very clear that I come at this from a perspective of wanting peace and security and national sovereignty. And I refuse to get down on the level with what the Likudniks and Ben-Gavir and them are doing. And so many people, when Israel attacks them, decide to go whole hog against Jews in general. And then that plays into the clash of civilizations paradigm, the divide and conquer that these different organizations and cold-blooded groups want. Like, take Rokana. He's super rich. He plays class warfare games. But Trump gives him wins and moral high ground, like covering up Epstein, which mainly is Democrats. And so Rokana is right when he calls for that to be released. And Rokana is right with Massey to be trying to block the National Defense Authorization Act that says it merges, integrates, live time, fuses, marries. That's the term they're all using in the legislation and publicly. Marries the United States to Israel. And we have the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Mike Huckabee, saying we're married to Israel. And all the rest of this. Well, I didn't sign up for that on our 250th anniversary. I don't want to be married to the UK or married to Russia or married to China or married to Mexico. I didn't elect the Israeli Knesset. So this is a big issue, and that's coming up. Trump briefed on all-out war plans. I told you they're gearing up for a ground invasion. That's on the table. Still eyes diplomacy as Iran reminds U.S., quote, muzzle your pets in Tel Aviv. And again, just because we don't like this war because we knew it wouldn't be successful, all the evidence showed, doesn't mean we support the mullahs either. You got Rokana. Congress has blocked the amendment. Representative Thomas Massie and I, as Rokana, introduced to stop the integration of our military with Israel's. It is unconscionable to not even have a vote. We will be continuing on and will not be intimidated by the Israel lobby, which they're trying to do and primarying people and everybody else. Say what you want about Rokana. He's got big Weibos to be taking on the Israel lobby. Also, we've got Zhang Shui King, the professor, confirms Washington is secretly prepping mass ground invasion of Iran. I don't just need to trust him. I know that's true. Kat says Israel could be back at war tomorrow. That's their defense minister in Israel. And then the U.S. says we'll go back in if Israel does. I mean, it's already out of control that Trump's not had Congress vote to the war powers. This is a war to make him get congressional approval. That's even bad enough. But how about Israel is in control? Meanwhile, container ship runs aground in Hormuz checkpoint. We're going to get to all of those clips and more today. Israel confirms development of space-based laser weapons as part of military space strategy. Israel set sights on space lasers as next military frontier. Remember the old joke about 9/11 that Israel blew up the towers with space lasers? Something I never said, something I didn't believe. But it's still been attributed to me, like, you know, lizard people and flat earth. That's not me, folks. But there are space-based lasers. China has them, Russia has them, the U.S. has them. Israel obviously has a lot of advanced weapons and has been tinkering around. But the point is that, oh my gosh, Jewish space lasers. It's a thing now. I will be getting to that as well. Look, I got to cover this. I've already hit it some, just because I've got to be fair. Even the New York Post, that's pro-Trump, was like, it's disgusting when Hunter Biden was put on the boards of companies to make tens of millions of dollars just so his dad would give government contracts to those companies. That's what Trump's done a bunch of. And he didn't do it in the first term. I've had analysts on, even his enemies on. They admit it. Trump was very clean first term. He lost almost everything. I get it, fighting the deep state. He went from being worth about $8 billion to being worth about $1 billion, it was estimated. Now he's gotten his wealth back up to almost $7 billion. So I can see, like, oh, we went through all this hell, so we're going to have the Justice Department do special dispensations saying it's legal when we do this, it's legal when we do that. And Trump says, I'll just pardon the whole administration. It's wrong. So I've got a stack of that stuff here. And it's bad, folks. It is just cut and dry. And I like Don Jr. I like Eric. I've wanted them to succeed. But, I mean, when you read this stuff, like the day after they get signed up with the company, Trump gives them multi-billion dollar contracts to mining companies in Kazakhstan and stuff. It's mind-blowing. And it's just one more thing that completely freaks me out. Doesn't mean I'm going to support the Democrats. Doesn't mean I'm going to not support other good Republican candidates. I'm just going to say, okay, this is good what Trump's doing. This is bad. Boy, I sure don't support this. And you've got all these hardcore Trump supporters. I say about a third of our audience is pissed off at me continually. That's okay. It's happened before. I'm going to do what's right regardless. But respectfully, I would tell people, did I say during Midnight Hammer the plan was to take us to full war? Did I say Israel was going to end up striking Iran first and dragging us in, which they did on February 28th? We went in March 1st. Did I say that the mullahs wouldn't fall and they'd close the strait and it would destroy the recovery and create massive inflation? Was I right? Did I say that Israel would start bombing Lebanon and Iran to kill a peace deal, which they said they would do, which they did? And now Trump says they better watch it. They better appreciate him. Netanyahu would be in prison if it wasn't for him. Everybody hates Israel now because of Netanyahu and the vice president. That's what I've been saying, word for word. But I'm low IQ because I said it months before the president. I'm fried because I was right. And still, Tulsi's bad because she told him. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is bad because he told him. Joe Kent is bad. We're bad because we were right. And we said Amy Comey Barrett is a big neocon leftist. Trump, don't do it. I had Bob Barnes on a bunch of the time. That 30% of the audience was like, it's trillion D chess. You're an idiot. And now Trump says she's horrible. See, I was right again. I could just all day. I was right. Because I study all of this stuff. And I'm on with Eric Bolling. I think he's a smart guy, nice guy, really good at economics. Love his show. Friends with him for a long time. Even back when he was at Fox. And I'm on his show the other day, and he's like, Alex, can I get you to not hate Israel? Israel's not that bad. And I'm just like, I'm against the leadership of Israel dragging us into war. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm anti the leadership running our country. It's foreign policy and trying to control our domestic policy. He goes, well, I actually agree with you on that. And so's my wife, who's Jewish, and a lot of my Jewish friends. Oh, yeah. Every former Mossad head. And for those of you that just hate Israel and foam at the mouth about it all day, attribute every bad weather to them or whatever. When you approach it from Jews are all evil, kill them all and all this stuff, it feeds into what the ultra-Zionist lobby wants of persecution against Jews to get them all on board with the most extreme radical perspectives. Just like Zionists made a deal with Hitler to let no Jews get out around the world. They actually lobbied that Jews couldn't get out to the U.S. They asked Roosevelt not to. That's public knowledge back at the time. So the Jews could only go to Israel, and then a bunch of rich Jews with Hitler would rob the Jews. This is famous stuff. There's best-selling books on it, congressional hearings on it. And then a lot of times the wealthy and middle-class Jews would give all their money to the Jewish groups, the Zionists that would give it to the Nazis, part of it, and then they would double-cross them and just kill them. Like Madeleine Albright's dad, that was her specialty, was robbing rich Jews. And finally, the Nazis double-crossed him in early 45, and he fled to Serbia with her as a young child. My point is that you got to think second, third, fourth order stuff here. And everybody's tried to dumb it down to either you're for the Muslims or you're for Israel. Oh, really? Well, what Muslims am I for or against? UAE, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood, the Shiites. I mean, you guys that try to dumb it down to that even know the different groups and different countries and different sub-blocks? Shiite, Sunni? No. Do you know Saudi Arabia is basically since 2012 in a cold war with Qatar? Do you know that Qatar has our biggest military base in the Middle East? Do you know our own government funds the radical jihadists just like Israel's been caught doing? All day, everybody works for Qatar. I work for Qatar. I have nothing to do with Qatar because I'm against this war. And meanwhile, Israel and the U.S. have been funding and working with Qatar and giving Qatar money to fund the radical Muslims, like we put in charge of Syria 2 years ago, the head of Al-Qaeda, like Israel creating Hamas. And I see these Christian Zionists all over the TV, national news, influencers attacking me, going, he's obviously a Qatari agent. And I'm like, I'm not the Pentagon. I'm not Israel. They never talk. I mean, I ask these people, too. I said, come on, debate me. None of them will do it. Because I'm going to go, here's Israel admitting they created Hamas and funded it up until October 7th and stood down. Here's the Pentagon being one of the main funders of Qatar. Oh, and Israel. Oh, you don't want to go there. That the West, not just Israel, the British invented funding the Muslims 120 years ago and right through to now. Then the U.S. picked it up for World War II, and then Israel got heavily involved after 48. But, I mean, it's way more complex, folks, than are you for the Muslims or are you for the Jews? Are you for the Jews or are you for the Muslims? And it gives me a headache to know all these facts and even watch politicians on TV don't even know it. And the people perish for lack of knowledge. So I said that's coming up. I got some video clips. I want to get into that. But the ground invasion being planned, absolute disaster. They fired the head of the army because he told Trump that he wouldn't do it. You need 200,000 troops just to take the Strait of Hormuz. You'd need a million probably to take Iran. You'd have to move in with artillery and just take years. And you just have to move across the country and flatten everything. Guys, square miles. How many square miles is Gaza? And then how many square miles is, look up, how many square miles is Iran? And then how many square miles is Gaza? Took Israel a couple years to get control of Gaza, and a lot of dead troops, and probably $50 million of weapons dropped. So how many square miles is Gaza versus how many square miles is Iran? And Iran is even worse per square mile than Gaza. Gaza Strip is 140 square miles, 363 square kilometers, all right? Now, because it's 140 square miles. And how many square miles is Iran? And then divide that in to that. A circle of mountains around it. Iran is 636 36,000 square miles. 336,372 square miles. 1,648,000 square kilometers. So Iran is 4,500 times larger. Let's pull up a topography map of Iran for folks that don't understand this. Just type in topography map Iran. Average mountain, last time I looked it up, 9,000 feet. Biggins, they got some 15, 16, 17,000 foot mountains. The whole thing is ringed with mountains, so nobody can ever take it over. And it's armed to the teeth everywhere with conventional weapons. So if you think Vietnam was a problem, because the Iranians aren't going to give up, you can kill all their leaders. They're parallel construction. They're not vertically integrated. And this is what the Pentagon told Trump. How do I know all this? Because I study it. How many people live in Iran? 93 million. How many times bigger than Iraq is it? Three times. Have we ever been at war with them? Yeah. We funded a seven-year proxy war, the Iran-Iraq War. We killed over 2 million of them. We spent, in U.S. numbers today, about $400 billion on them. Yeah, you want to invade that? Oh, you see down there on the bottom right here? You see right there? You know what that is? That's the Strait of Hormuz. 2,000-3,000-foot sheer cliff walls straight up, sand beaches, tiny beaches, and then mountains that are 5,000-6,000 feet tall, all around it, with thousands of pieces of artillery and missiles, 18 miles across, unstoppable, can sink any ship anytime they want with just conventional weapons. And sure, we'll blow up their weapons. They just got 100-1 on us. They just fire artillery at a couple ships. They run off. Their artillery's blown up. And the team with that has 20 pieces of artillery themselves. They fire another artillery. We blow it up with a $10 million missile. Million-dollar missile. See that? That's a death trap right there. You see all those areas, hundreds and hundreds of miles of mountains in front of them? That's where their cities are, boys and girls. You see that? You see all those cities that are up in the mountains? And then their main cities are at the entrance to the gorges to the mountains? That's a death trap. The Army said, you basically can't take it. They said, if we nuked them with 100 nukes, and killed everybody, then we win. Yeah. And then we'll be the total pariah of the entire planet. All right. I'm going to get to these clips. I'm going to move away from Israel now because I've got Trump and the birthright citizenship. He's got legislation, but the Republican Senate says they're not going to pass it, just like the SAVE Act. But they got a bunch of legislation introduced that will end the birthright citizenship. The anchor babies, that's good news. We got to put heat on these traitors. You got all this demonization of America on the 250th anniversary, on the 250th anniversary coming up. Got to hit that. We've got so much more today. Big guest. We have Democrats openly worshiping the devil, as usual. Texas Democrats chant, we are all going to hell in solidarity with James Tallarico, the idiot running for Senate. He's the new Beto. We've got political communist earthquake, 29-year-old Democrat socialist, House 15-term incumbent Representative Diana DeGetti in Colorado's 1st District. We got a lot coming up today. But before I do that, I want you to listen very, very careful to this next announcement because this is a big deal. This is a game changer. And I got to tell you right now, this tastes like Hubba Bubba grape gum from my childhood, but it's all natural and delicious. These are the most delicious gummies I've ever had, and what's in them is incredible. We now have colostrum gummies concentrate in stock, thealexjonesstore.com, the highest quality colostrum, and we have the powder. Get yours now. Here's my breakdown. I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair, and so much more. But the issue is, our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top-rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it, and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I drop the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold press. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up at 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now, our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, and you have a Shilajit complex. We have the best. Boost testosterone, full of peptides, amazing. Shilajit complex capsules, buy one, get one free. That's the new sale that is running until tomorrow evening, so be sure to take advantage of that. A bunch of other big sales at theyellowstonestore.com. And the widest selection of Patriot apparel, 250th anniversary limited edition, and more. And you're going to get more hosts, more crew, more reporters, be bigger than ever in InfoWars. If you support us and you're doing it, I thank you so much. We'll finish up with Israel trying to get us into a ground war. Then we'll get into all the other news coming up. Stay with us. I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair and so much more. But the issue is, our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top-rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it, and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I drop the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that send bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's in a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the great gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'm here live Central.
And I stood for deadly nightshade, 'cause I was filled with poison, but blessed with beauty and rage. Jen told me that it hit me and it felt like a kiss. Jen brought me back, reminded me.
was poison ivy. I could have died right then, 'cause he was right beside me.
There is a war for human consciousness. There is a war to break your will. There is a war to demoralize you. And if you give up on God, you must reach out to the space-time continuum and say, God, I can't do it alone. I ask you into my heart. I ask you to energize me and rebuild me second to second, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. Raise me up as a vessel, as a standard against evil. I am here. I am opening the door. I want to fulfill the destiny you've laid out for me, my Heavenly Father. Israel's leadership knowingly, cold-bloodedly, with AIPAC, has been targeting anyone that disagrees with any of Israel's greater Israel plan to expand. Netanyahu has less than a 20% approval rating. He has parliamentarily manipulated the other parties to stay in power. He's been in power off and on for 26 years. And he has bragged that he drug us into these wars. It is destroying the world economy. BlackRock is happy because they want the planet poor. Israel knows they're super unpopular and wants the U.S. wedded to Israel. And I've got a clip of Huckabee coming up as well, saying we're married to Israel. What does Levin say? It's a marriage. What does Trump say? It's a business deal. That's fine. I don't want to blow up Israel. I want Israel to be successful. Israel has more money than the American people on average. But this idea that America owes everything to Israel is an ongoing talking point from Levin, from Shapiro, from the Israeli ambassador, Huckabee. And I say that seriously. He's not the U.S. ambassador to Israel. He's the ambassador from Israel to the U.S. He said it again, that America wouldn't exist without Israel. We owe you everything. Well, you could say we wouldn't exist without the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians. And of course, I mean, that's all part of history. And the influence of the Old Testament and Old Judaism in the three Abrahamic religions, of course. But you could say without the United States in World War II, the Jews wouldn't exist. It just goes on and on and on. Could you say the Greeks have a greater influence than Judaism on the U.S.? I think it's pretty incalculable. But both, I mean, that's the history we are. The Wright brothers hadn't invented aircraft. Somebody else would have, but it would have been a different future. It's like saying somebody might have had an ancestor that had slaves 200 years ago, so a white person that has no connection to that owes reparations. It's this idea of superiority. And we're not running our own country. And it's insulting. And Israel goes out and demonizes any opposition to radicalize them, because Israel then wants to have all these enemies so Israel can play victim. And so, overhead shot, Trump briefed on all-out war plans, still eyes diplomacy as Iran reminds U.S. muzzle your pets in Tel Aviv. I've talked to people at the CIA, the Justice Department, the Pentagon. They say more and more U.S. troops are quietly Marines and Army being stationed in Israel and in and around the Middle East. And Trump is preparing a ground invasion. I told you this months ago. It's in the news today. Zero Hedge links to the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of it. President Trump started this week by claiming that Iran had requested direct talks in Qatar, but as of yet, the ground reality in Doha is that Iranian officials have refused, leaving U.S. Representatives Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner to just bide their time and deal with Qatari and Pakistani intermediaries. Meanwhile, Trump is preparing a possible ground invasion. And then that dovetails with Ro Khanna, who I don't like his politics, but he's right about the NDAA. I've read section 224. It says merge, integrate, marry, fuse. Every level of Israeli military and intelligence with U.S. military and intelligence, from research and development to weapons development to live time integration. And it's in the Senate intelligence bill as well. Let's go to a clip of him and then another clip of Professor Zhang Shui King, confirms Washington is secretly preparing a massive ground invasion of Iran. He reveals that 660,000 troops are staged and waiting for cooler weather. I don't know if that's accurate. I don't think we can deploy that many troops. Not even 200,000 is what I've been told. Trump's peace deal is completely fake. The Pentagon is just buying time for a disastrous war. Well, there's been, and I showed this Monday, if you go to Syrian Girl, she had it on her ex. It's the live time jet tracking system. Record level U.S. Galaxies and C-130s going in with weapons into the Middle East. So they're definitely rebuilding for a war. The head of Israeli Defense Ministry says, Katz says Israel could be back at war by tomorrow. And that there is no reality in which Israel will not respond to an Iranian attack. Well, you've been hitting Iran. Trump's been hitting Iran and been hitting Lebanon. And then Trump says Iran better not break another peace deal or ceasefire or he'll destroy them forever again, the regime. At least he didn't say the culture. And so what are we about to witness? I think there's a very good chance a big attack after July 4th. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying that's the trajectory. Netanyahu says he wants to end American aid to Israel. I don't want it. We can finance ourselves. We're no longer a small country. And his plan is to co-own all of our weapons, claiming in this deal that everything we make, they co-own. Unbelievable. It's like your child when they're 12 saying, I don't want an allowance anymore. I'm not going to mow the yard or clean the dishes or do the laundry or walk the dog or bathe, you know, give the dog a bath. Those are all my jobs. Or clean, you know, dad's Bronco. No. I am now co-parenting, and your bank account is co-owned by me. So let's play those clips back-to-back, and then let's play the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. who said a few weeks ago at the Jewish News Service that he would rather live in Israel than America. Here he is saying we owe everything to Israel. We wouldn't exist without Israel. Well, the current timeline world wouldn't exist without the Romans or the Egyptians or the Greeks or the Babylonians or Henry VIII or the Gutenberg Press or Thomas Edison or the Wright brothers or Ludwig von Beethoven. Or we wouldn't be on this timeline if it wasn't for Hitler and Napoleon. Not good guys, but, you know, they affected. I mean, it's like, why can't we thank George Washington? And, you know, I noticed the left is having these 4th of July celebrations. They've got around the country, Denver, L.A., San Diego. I've got a bunch of examples here. I mean, here's just one example. I'll get this later coming up. But below is the city of San Diego's 4th of July celebration. I have an alternative plan. Number one, acknowledge America and its greatness. Celebrate the fireworks and the American National Anthem, Bill of Rights, Constitution. But here's what they're doing in San Diego. Set up a sound check, media statements, guest arrival, networking, tribal Native American blessing, welcoming, and land acknowledgement, I mean that we stole the land, tribal invocation, national and black national anthem, local tribal commentary stories, Latino commentary stories, Asian American, Native American, Pacific Islander commentary stories, LGBTQA community stories, black and American heritage stories, closing remarks, fireworks. So a bunch of DEI, whites are evil crap. Got a bunch of news on that. But that's from the left wing. Every time I turn on Fox or see, you know, any of the so-called conservative talk show hosts who are all anti-Trumpers before, they all run out and attack anybody that's against a total war in Israel running us, calling us Nazis, knowing that a lot of populists will get pissed at Trump, take the bait, get mad at Trump, and then he'll fully come after us, trying to drive us out of the influence sphere so Israel and its lobby gets full control. See how that works? No, I just said I'm not mad Trump called me low IQ and fried. And no, that's okay, Trump. You're mistaken. I'll be proven right. And when that happens, you can, you know, get Israel back in check and not running us. And now Trump's starting to do that, at least moving that direction. I'm like, it's okay. I understand you're mad. I know your surrogates. Mark Levin writes a lot of your true socials. And, you know, I didn't take the bait. Like so many others, like, that's it, Trump. I freaking hate you. And I'm like, nope, we'll just keep putting pressure on you. We'll be proven right. So let's go ahead and play those clips back to back.
Congress has blocked Thomas Massie and my amendment to prevent the integration of our military with Israel. This is unconscionable. They're not even giving us a vote on the amendment. Thomas and I will continue to fight to make sure we don't compromise American sovereignty.
No, you're absolutely right. Boots on the ground would be a disaster, but I still believe that eventually the United States will be forced to use boots on the ground. In fact, you can argue that there's been a lot of preparation. You still have 60,000 American troops ready to go. They are staged and ready to go. And even though there's an MOU, they're still there. And you can also argue that the MOU is really just buying time, because right now it's really hot in Iran. And so you have to wait for cooler weather before you can launch a ground invasion. And so I think we are in a waiting game right now, but eventually you will see boots on the ground.
So you think it will definitely happen?
I think the latest will be next March. It could be as early as December.
But why would Donald Trump take that gigantic risk, which is what it would be? I mean, doesn't all his behavior at the moment suggest that he just wants to get...
Before we go to Huckabee, we better hope that Chinese professor's wrong. And he's a pretty smart guy. We know there's a ground invasion plan. I don't think the U.S. has 660,000 deployable troops. I don't think we have a half million, and that's from my Pentagon numbers. And really, it's about 200,000 that are really ready. But if we're closed next March still, all the economists are clear. Double-digit inflation on top of what we already have. I mean, it will derail the entire world economy. It's already totally screwed 123 days in, but there's still a chance to pull out of this. And gas prices are already going down precipitously because the strait got partially open. Now a ship was trying to evade the Iranian toll and ran aground, and it's just a disaster. I had more on that. But here's Huckabee, and he constantly – I mean, can't you talk about our Christian values? Can't you talk about George Washington? Can't you talk about the Magna Carta? I mean – If you listed 20 things, it'd be not, you know. And then, sure, the Bible's contribution, of course. But, I mean, that's a big thing. But, I mean, it's like it always has to be, and this is what Netanyahu says. He says the U.S. wouldn't exist without Israel. He said it like a month ago. He said it 2 months ago. I got all the clips of it. You want to see that? He says if it wasn't for the Maccabees, Israel wouldn't exist. 3,000 years ago or whatever, and then the U.S. wouldn't exist. Well, I mean, technically, if the Romans didn't exist, it wouldn't exist. It's just like, are we going to thank the Romans? We're going to thank the... It's like, why? Why? Because Israel more and more is running our country, and they want us to feel like they are senior and we are junior. And you see these World Jewish Conference meetings where the billionaires get up and say, I'm not Jewish. I'm a goy. You are superior to me. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Nobody's not saying a lot of innovation comes out of Israel invention. Nobody's saying you're stupid. Nobody's not saying you don't have your act together. And you need to get your act together, not trying to run our lives. I don't try to run your life. I have my own sovereignty, my own country. And when you call me names and say I'm baby Hitler for that, it's making people hate you. And your bosses know that. And I know what you're doing. It's a dialectic. And stop. Michael Savage was on 8 months ago saying basically what I'm saying now. And say he talks to all these high-level Israelis, they feel the same way. This is not going to end well for Israel. And then you're like, well, we'll take you with us. I know that. I don't want you to do suicide by nuclear war. Okay, I don't want to be drug into this with you. Put the whiskey bottle down. I'm taking the keys away. It's called megalomania. And it's not just powerful Jews that get it, but you definitely got a case of it. Stop it. Here's Huckabee. It's disgusting.
I celebrate the heritage that as an American I have, thanks to the Jewish foundation upon which the United States of America was born and which it has thrived. And I tell you that if the United States ever forgets its heritage and forgets the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we will not be the great nation that we have become, and we will fall. And it's why that when I hear people say, is it possible that America and Israel will split apart and will no longer enjoy this extraordinary partnership? And I say, no, you got to understand, we're not that stupid. I hope we're never going to be that stupid. The truth is, it's like an incredible marriage between Israel and the United States. And when people ask, are we going to break up? I say, not a chance. because neither country can afford the alimony if we ever broke up. And that's why we will be partners for as long as there is. Thank you. God bless you. God bless America, and God bless the state of Israel. Thank you.
You know, when the UK tried to censor Americans and Elon Musk and everybody threatened to arrest American citizens, and we criticized what Keir Starmer was doing over here, over there, I said, what's the special relationship with the UK, giving them all our intelligence, one-sided trade deals? I said, I want that to end. And Trump's been basically ending that. Nothing against the people of the UK. They're under tyranny. And Trump's taking them to the woodshed. And the EU's out of control doing the same crap on a bigger scale. You hear me all the time. I don't want the EU running us. I don't want them suing our companies. I don't want them censoring us, what you're trying to do. Same thing with the UK. Same thing with China, Russia. But Russia doesn't really have a lot of flex on that. China has been the big issue. All the anti-Israel folks were always pissed at me because every time I'd cover China and their spies and stealing our secrets and what putting the kill switches in the computers, I'd see all over X and everywhere, oh, you traitor, you know, because all they have is tunnel vision, Israel, Israel, Israel. Well, now Israel is trying to take over domestically to control foreign policy, to secure that, and it's wrong. So that's where I stand on that, and it's a serious situation, and Israel doesn't have a leg to stand on in this. Now, I showed you the last few days all these articles, AP, Reuters, the New York Times, America is depressed. The record number of Americans aren't proud to be American. America's failed. No, the globalist systems come in and purposely with Clark and Piven and all the divide and conquer, the deindustrialization, set up these policies to get us under their control. That's the Great Reset. They admit that's the plan, planned austerity, destroying the means of production. But when you look at how ignorant the average American is, people are either really informed or they're not. And they can be black, they can be white. You know, it's like that famous Miss North Carolina who didn't even know what planet she was on. Jesse Waters, you know, does these pieces where he goes out. And I can tell you, we've done these ourselves. They're not cherry picking. And especially young people, like 80% of them don't know how old the country is, who founded it, who ran it, why it's special, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, why everybody wanted to move here, why it became the model of the world, why the globalists want to discredit it and destroy it so that model isn't there to compete with their tyrannical model. And so they talked to a bunch of people at the beach, because this is Florida, and they don't know what planet they're on. This is the education system. They know all about Hollywood. They know all about Jennifer Aniston. They know all about basketball and football, but they don't know anything about their heritage and what the system is doing to try to take it away from them. And if you don't know what your rights are, they can be taken away from you. Here is this really sad. I mean, they make it like it's funny on Fox when they hear these all the time. I don't think this is funny. I think it's sad. Here it is.
How are you celebrating the 4th of July?
Going down the beach with my friends.
I'm going camping for the first time in my life, and I'm honestly terrified.
And drunk and probably lighting fireworks.
Drunk while you're lighting fireworks?
Of course.
Is that a good idea?
100%.
Why do we celebrate the 4th of July?
I honestly couldn't answer that.
Well, actually not sure.
We celebrate the birthday of America.
To be lit and enjoy life.
That didn't used to be a trick question.
How old is America turning this year?
I have no idea.
58?
Fluoride.
58.
Does
is it
job.
Actually?
No. 250?
Does the GMO food.
Where do we declare our independence from?
Explain that a little bit further. What do you mean by where?
What's a revolution?
The United States.
Oh, yeah, the U.S.
Great Britain.
Mozambique, Africa.
You're kidding, right?
What was the name of the war in which we fought for our independence?
Civil War.
The Civil War.
Yeah.
War of Independence.
No.
Oh, God.
I actually don't know.
The Rev.
Bro, I don't know.
French and Indian War. World War II. The Revolutionary War. You know, I think that,
What was the name of the general that led us to victory in the Revolutionary War?
Does it begin with an A?
Washington?
General
Lee.
Hitler.
It was not Hitler.
Then I have no idea.
I thought it was obvious.
What year did we declare our independence?
1776.
Wild guess. The 1920.
1786.
1776.
Yes, Mary Hearn.
1754.
Higher.
1730.
Higher.
1748.
Higher.
1778.
I didn't do well in school.
Democrats, they like to say Donald Trump is a king, but we know we don't have kings in this country because we kicked a king to the curb.
King George III.
What was his name?
Oh, my God. Might need some multiple choice here.
King Tut.
Julius Caesar.
King Charles or something.
Neptune.
King George.
First time I've ever seen anyone get all questions right.
Who signed the Declaration of Independence?
William Shakespeare.
Nope, Thomas Jefferson, sweetie.
Lincoln.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yep.
George Washington. John Hancock.
John
Wick.
George Bush.
That's it. George W. Bush.
No.
What's your birthday message to America as we celebrate 250?
Happy 4th of July. Happy 250th.
Celebrate and have a beer.
Everyone go light some fireworks and maybe blow some heads off.
What do you want to tell Jesse Waters? You're on his show on Fox News.
See you on my parents' television all the time.
Do you know who I am?
A handsome man.
Thank you. Here's Johnny.
What's up, Johnny?
The people perish for lack of knowledge. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. It's 1776, July 4th, 1776, 250 years ago. I'll do a special live show. Let's do it at noon. Noon to 2 p.m. I have a bunch of guests celebrating America, what it's really all about. They want to undermine that. Look at these headlines. American pride in U.S. history and democracy drops, and fewer are proud to be in America. They believe what America's turned into is America. No, that's the anti-American garbage globalist system. As the nation turns 250, many Americans say the stars and stripes is now a red flag. It's bad. But what are we replacing it with? Total tyranny. If we do not fly the flag, we will also put out signs to make it clear that we are not MAGA. It's associated with Trump. You see, the left hates America. They hated it before Trump. That's the reality. Hour number two on the economy, on the wars, on the left, on the communists, winning all these primaries, and so much more evidence of more election fraud with the mail-in ballots, the Supreme Court ruling, your phone calls, and so much more. Special guest Matt Bracken, others coming up. Whatever you do, share the live feeds now on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. That's Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. And follow us on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live.
A back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
And I've told the story. My mother never wants to go on TV, but she did last year. Look, your dad was completely bald. I'm not kidding. And now all this hair is coming in. And hair that was gray started. She showed me at the restaurant. You've seen it. It's coming in brown. It is buy one, get one free until tomorrow night at midnight central at thealexjonesstore.com. You've been on colostrum now too much, and we have the very best at thealexjonesstore.com, and I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really. You put
that on. Tell us what happened.
I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker. Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It is bovine colostrum. It is buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, the Supreme Court ruled that if a plane's wheels touch down in L.A. or New York and a woman is having a baby on the plane, that baby gets full benefits, more than U.S. veterans, becomes a U.S. citizen automatically. She can stay in the U.S. now and get full benefits. And China is literally has hundreds of thousands of people coming here doing this. This is a takeover of our country. Trump was right to congratulate Xi Jinping on the Supreme Court ruling, but he put Amy Coney Barrett in there. We told him not to. But here's an example of the UK doing a good job stopping these people coming here. We need to pass a law. They've got a bill to pregnancy test women when they're obviously pregnant before they come here and block them. Trump's got other legislation to block it. That's coming up next segment. We'll update you on it. But here's an example of them stopping one of these women and then what Stephen Miller had to say about the ruling.
No, please don't beg me. She's in advanced state of pregnancy. It's quite common for pregnant ladies to travel overseas so that they can have the baby in whichever country to automatically get that passport.
What's your final destination today?
No, today.
Today?
Today, London.
Okay.
But I'm going to the US tomorrow.
You're going to the US tomorrow, okay. When you went for your American visa, did you tell the visa officer that you were pregnant?
No.
You didn't? No. Okay. Is there any reason why you didn't tell the visa officer that you're pregnant?
It didn't come up.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just...
The woman is only 7 weeks away from giving birth, yet has decided to visit her sister in America, claiming she will return 3 weeks before her due date.
It says that you're fit to travel. Babies born in the UK don't automatically qualify for a British passport, but babies born in the US do automatically qualify for an American passport. So it's quite common for pregnant ladies to travel overseas so that they can have the baby in whichever country to automatically get that passport.
Sarah is suspicious of the woman's motive for travelling to the US via the UK, but she could also be in breach of airline regulations for travelling whilst pregnant.
When is she due?
5th of June.
When is Harry due?
16th of May. So she's got 3 weeks between her return date and her due date, which makes her 37 weeks pregnant, which is over every airline's limit.
The woman is in breach of the airline's policy, but as she has a valid US visa, Sarah must now contact the US embassy.
Hi, it's Sarah. I'm at the airport at the moment. I just wondered if you could give a call to the American embassy so that they can check an American visa for me. She's at the airport today, and she's in advanced state of pregnancy. So if you can just give them a call and find out if they're happy with that, and if so, then we can let her travel.
It's minutes before the flight leaves. But whether or not the pregnant woman will be on board is up to the U.S. Embassy.
Right, okay. Okay, all right, I'll do that then. Okay, thanks so much. All right, thank you, bye-bye. Okay, that was the American Embassy, and they want to speak to her today.
The flight will be leaving without the pregnant woman. Now Sarah must tell her the news.
So what I've done is I've contacted the visa man and explained your situation. What he'd like to do is can you go back to the embassy here in Lagos, show him all this paperwork, and he'll want to speak to you. I'm sorry, I know it's frustrating, but if you can go back to him, because
The pregnant woman did not make it to the USA. When she failed to turn up at the American embassy, her visa was cancelled.
Look, Jesse, I can step tomorrow onto the deck
of a 747. It does not mean that I am the pilot of that plane and I'm qualified to fly it. Just physically being on U.S. soil does not make you a citizen or qualified to carry on or capable of executing the inheritance of this country. We have people from all over the world, from third world nations, nations that on their own would have never invented the wheel, let alone modern technology, let alone medicine, let alone air travel. And they can just come into the country, have a baby at a hospital, paid for by you and me, and then that baby's automatically a citizen. That baby can sit on a jury when he turns 18 and sit in judgment of you and sit in judgment of me and sit in judgment of our loved ones, can decide who our mayors are, our governors are, our presidents are. Citizenship means nothing if it is open to everyone. The idea that you can have a cruise ship filled with foreigners and they just dock at a port for an hour and someone has a baby, Jesse, the baby's an American citizen. They can vote in every election for the rest of their lives. They can be living in a foreign country. And
this is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we are now into hour number two on this July 1st, 2026 global transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. Very blessed and honored to be here with you today. Now, if you go back over 2 years ago when Dr. Kirk Elliott, who is a very successful, smart economist and the owner of the largest, most successful silver and gold brokerage firm in North America, because they have the best deals and do a great job and the highest ratings, and he is a sponsor, but that's a side issue, he over and over again said the big thing Trump's going to face is them trying to launch a new pandemic to derail him. And the UN and other globalists bragged they were going to try that. So did Hotez and Fauci. That's so far not been successful, though they've tried. And he said the bigger thing will be if we hit Iran, if Israel drags us into that, then they will close the strait. And most analysts believe that the mullahs won't fall. It'll become very protracted. We're now into, 123 days of this war. 123 since Israel launched the attack February 28th. 122 that we've been in it. And you notice it's this recycling event where we get a ceasefire, Israel hits Lebanon or hits Iran, Iran then strikes back, Trump says don't break the ceasefire to Israel and to Iran, Iran closes the strait again, so it's open, close, but overall it's been choked down to less than 10%. Other ships are trying to get around the Iranians, putting tolls on them, so a big container ship just ran aground today. That's causing problems. Trump comes out and says, 2 weeks ago, they're going to keep it closed. It's going to hurt the economy, inflation, my plan. We've got to end this now. Tells Israel, end it now. Israel ignores him. Then Trump says, I'll destroy all of Iran again. Then he says, there's a peace deal back on the table. Iran won't even meet with Kushner and Witkoff now. This is a bad situation. And they're talking about this war going on for years now. Was going to last 4 days, then it was going to last 5-6 months. Now we're told it's going to last years. What will that do? The Strait of Hormuz closed for another year. Now, they're building workarounds and pipelines, but Iran can take those out. So, this is a serious situation. Remember, one-third of the world's oil and rare earth minerals, fertilizers, helium for chip manufacturing. It's already causing major problems. We have a lot of our own fertilizer here. We're not as bad off as Africa or other areas like Asia. We're seeing farmers cutting their orders in half because they can't even afford it. Diesel prices, all of this. So Kirk, you know, a few weeks into this, said, well, there's still time to turn this around. Now, last time he was on 2 weeks ago, he said he's not so sure. And he said he doesn't think so. So I want to look at the economy, look at housing, look at manufacturing, look at inflation, and then also look at where he thinks the economy will be doing well. Are we at the end of this big tech bubble with AI? A lot of people thought it would be when these big stock offerings came out. We're going to be analyzing all that. Meanwhile, silver hits 100. Was AI really the reason? Forecasting silver demand and supply 2030, impact of silver intensive photovoltaic cells and sectoral competition. The reason we said 2 years ago silver can only go up, and it more than doubled, is because it has to be used in the computer chips and the new batteries and everything and the weapons. Silver regains focus as growth outlook and industrial demand takes center stage, as Kirk predicted a month ago. And 2 months, he said, this is the buying opportunity. All the fundamentals are there. People know I'm all about being right. So the guests I have on are right over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and are wrong like every once in a while. Because Trump was going to fire Gabbard a couple months ago and decided to do it. And then Roger Stone called up, and I guess he wasn't allowed to talk about that, so he got in trouble. So that's why you haven't heard him in a few months on the show. I don't get a lot from Roger. They thought I was getting other stuff from him. We'll see if he comes on an appointment. He talked to Trump for like an hour and convinced him not to, but still, she was forced out. The cancer was just the cover. Her husband does have it. And so my point is that we have these sources. We know what's going on. And Trump should have listened to us. Trump sounds just like I did months ago now, saying Netanyahu would be in prison without me. Everybody hates Israel now. Only the U.S. is there for you. You ought to treat us with more respect. So the vice president say that. I don't come at this as with some hate for Israel and some obsession with Israel. Israel now is controlling foreign policy in the Middle East, trying to control domestic policy, primarying people and things so that they can maintain control and expand. That's not going to work if you talk to all the experts and economists and military experts and futurists. And I'm pretty smart myself, and I agree with their analysis. So I come at this because it's bad for everybody. And I'm not a big buddy-buddy sweetie pie with Islam. Everybody knows that. I don't like it turning them into victims, plus the refugees we're going to get. But my point is, I have guests on that are right over and over and over again. As you could say, oh, Gabbard didn't get fired. That's where I was going there. Well, she was. He was going to fire. That was true in the New York Times, Washington Post. And then Roger convinced Trump not to. But still, it happened. And you know, Cash Patel a few months ago, he was out. For whatever reason, Trump changed his mind. They go, oh, look, you're wrong about that. We're right about 99% of the time, 98% of the time. When we're wrong is when something's going down and then it changes. But when I've got sources and I've got intel, like when I told you the Russians 4.5 years ago, 3 months before, will invade by the end of February. I had enough intel and sources and enough pieces. No one was 100% sure, but with all my pieces, I was sure. So sometimes I make my own analysis. But when I get up here and I tell you, okay, I got out of silver and gold late 2013 at the top. I said before it was paper manipulations and things, it was still undervalued, but I said the way the markets work, I'm out. Then about 2 years ago, I said, okay, who's the top guy, highest rated? Kirk Elliott, boom, I want you as a sponsor. Great, absolutely. I've been following him for 25 years in business. No, he's always had a great name. I said, now's the time. He said, absolutely now's the time. And he came here, we had dinner, we talked, he agreed with me, and he gave me even more information. And his forecasts have been dead on. So I know we had people in the last few months when it ran up, silver, you know, super records and gold, and then went down a little bit in profit taking and manipulation, but it was still in the 20-year trend, this, and then it does this. When you look at trends, it does that. With all the fundamentals, especially on silver, people are calling up, you know, hoping Kirk Elliott dies of cancer and things. Not most of them, not many of them, but it was happening. A guy at the grocery store say, I thought you said silver was the bet. Well, look, it's down some. And I'm like, the fundamentals, the manufacturing. So now you look at what's happening. And there's even more baked in. But we'll Now that people think there's a peace deal, but there won't be a peace deal, I predict there won't be a peace deal that sticks. I only see, because of safe haven, it only going up more. But that's not the sure bet. The sure bet is the industrialization uses and the inflationary curve that's only going straight up. I think you can say now we are not going to be able to reverse inflation. We were never going to be able to reverse it, but slow it, have enough industrial boom and new development and new innovation to increase jobs and increase paychecks to negate the inflation. But now I think that's out the window. That's what Kirk said 2 weeks ago. I don't know where he's at right now, but that's quite the introduction. He sent me a lot of documents, a lot of articles, a lot of stuff to hit today. And I also want to open the phones up for Dr. Kirk Elliott. We'll just take 5 or 6 calls. That way, when he leaves, none of you are on hold. With any specific questions about the economy or about gold and silver, we'll put the number on screen for TV viewers. So that is coming up as well. 512-266-0642. Right there on screen, 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. You can call in from outside the country. Just use your country and then U.S. access code 512-266-0642. All right, Doc, that was my long 6-minute intro. Was I right in what I said? Add to it, subtract, big picture. What are the new factors coming in? How big's the Strait of Hormuz situation? Obviously, if it does stay closed for another year, they're now telling us, as this fiasco just continues with Iran holding most of the cards. Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Hey, Alex, you were right. I've had a few calls this week, and they said, Kirk, you said when this conflict was over, silver was going to be triple digits within a month. And it's like, when this conflict is over, gold and silver should absolutely soar. It's not over. I mean, yes, we had a peace deal signed, right? But then last weekend, it all blew up again, right? This conflict isn't over. And I hold steady to what I said, because when the inflationary pressures subside, when the Strait of Hormuz is opened up, the price of oil comes down for good. And there is a lasting organizational effort there to actually get things normalized. Yeah, you're going to see gold and silver go up, but I believe it's going to go up in spite of that because of other factors, right? We're going to have some volatility here going sideways for a while, but you're right. Solar power, electronic demand, cryptocurrency mining, electric, everything that silver is used for. We have to realize, Alex, people like you and me and all of the investors in silver and gold, in silver, we are only 10% of the total demand for silver globally. 90% comes from manufacturers and industrial usage. Investors are only 10% of it. So therefore, the supply and demand equation actually is the fundamental force that we should be looking at moving forward. Everything else here is like noise causing volatility to go for a little while. To me, when you see that supply and demand hasn't changed, in fact, it's amplifying. There's more demand, less supply. In time, as soon as some of this noise dissipates, you're going to see it go up. And how do we know, right? So,
well, let me just raise this briefly. I mean, I'm looking at USA Today, Bloomberg, JP Morgan, all of them. They're saying silver, with what is baked in, with just a minimum build out of data centers, let's just say on the low end, then it's set at 100 just in what data centers need. Then you add the new batteries, you add the weapons, you add all this. Then how are they suppressing it? And then I'm going to give you the floor, but how are they suppressing it? And how does the war continuing, I guess, with uncertainty suppress it? How do you suppress it when all the fundamentals say it should be way up, and when all the billionaires and big bankers, even Warren Buffett, are buying it?
Yeah, so there's new reports coming out even just this week that banks have resumed shorting again. It's like, okay, banks have resumed their shorting of silver, probably because they think that it's actually going to go up. They need to unwind the last of their short positions, because when they did the big unwind, you know, when silver went up to 120 in January, they got rid of a lot of shorts, but not all of them. Right. So now is the time that you really start to unwind at these lower prices before it goes up. So I think the increase in shorts tells us, OK, they think the price is going to go up. Right. And we look at some of the main drivers of like metals overall, which would be central banks. 82% of central banks now own gold as a strategic asset. That's up from 71% last year. So you have to say, where do they think that the world is going? Because these central bankers aren't stupid, right? They're going to cover themselves first and protect themselves. They're viewing gold as a strategic asset to collateralize their loans. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, banks, central banks especially, it's not this coordination of the yen and the euro and the dollar. Those are just the currencies. Banking is a form of lending. It's just collateral. You need collateral if you're going to lend. Banks are in the business of lending. You can't lend something if you don't have an asset to back up your loan. So this is why they're using gold as a high quality liquid asset. And they are adding to their position by a lot. Poland just added 18 tons of gold, one of their largest purchases ever.
And let me read the headline. Let me read the headline from Kitco. We can put that back on screen. Central banks see gold prices trading between 5,000 and 6,000 in 12 months. They're already betting into the future, but right now they're doing shorts to try to suppress it, I guess, so they can unwind their positions, but also buy more of it. I mean, this is a no-brainer right here.
Yeah, it is. And even Goldman Sachs, right, Alex? Okay, the great Goldman Sachs, right? So they lowered their gold target for the end of the year, you know, because a few months ago before the Iranian conflict, they said, oh, gold is going to hit $5,600 by the end of the year. They lowered it to $4,900. And people think, oh, that's bad. It's like, is it? All that we've seen is a pause in the growth of the metals over this Iranian conflict. But when Goldman lowers it to 4,900, you have to say, well, where is gold today? It's at like 4,000. So they're still expecting an $800 per ounce growth between now and the end of the year. That's 6 months from now. That's 18% growth in 6 months. So even after they slowed down their projection, that's a 36% annualized growth. There's not a rational person in the world that would say, I'm not satisfied with 36% growth. That's what Goldman is saying, even after they kind of reduced their estimate. So they're still expecting it to grow. They're still expecting silver to grow. In fact, the big banks have not changed their growth estimate on where they think silver is going. Why? Because they're looking at supply and demand like we are, right? So I think there's something bigger at foot here, which is going to cause metals to go up. And as I look at this, you know, it's July 4th coming up, right? We're celebrating our independence and freedom, right? This is what this is all about. And over the last couple of weeks, I see something that's very similar to the Tea Party movement that started in 2008, just on the opposite side. So what did Mayor Mamdani do in New York, right? He supported three Democratic socialists, and they won the primary. So it's like, you've got the Democratic Party that's starting to fracture itself. And even a few days ago, James Carville, Clinton's advisor, the liberal that all the conservatives hated back then, he said, I think that we need to have a schism in this party and not support these crazy socialists, right? It's like, I can't believe I'm agreeing with James Carville, right? But this movement and this socialist movement in the Democrats is like the opposite but similar to the Tea Party movement, which was the precursor to MAGA back in 2008. So the country is shifting. And here's where I think this is important, how this is going to impact the economy. So there was a study done just last week how people that are 18 to 29 – the young adults, people wanting to look into their jobs, their careers, their futures, they don't think that the American dream still exists, right? And it's like, what's the American dream? You work hard, you start a company, you work for somebody, you work really hard, you're going to have a retirement, you have the American dream, and you create a legacy for future generations. Because of AI, they don't think that they're going to have that. So if they don't view the American dream that we all celebrate on the 4th of July, right, what are they going to look for? They're going to look to the government for help. This is why this rise of socialism in the age of AI is becoming so prominent.
And that's what Elon said. He said we're going to need a universal basic income, which I disagree with, because it'll replace people. But then he also says it's going to create jobs. But mainly the globalists are saying that. But the good news is Ford found that AI messed up their factories, doesn't work. A bunch of other companies are finding it. The truth is AI is basically a con artist. It just scoops whatever the most, you know, quote, authoritative information is. But mostly authoritative information is like CNN and the Southern Poverty Law Center. And in law, in legal stuff, it's, I mean, to me, AI is way overhyped, but big tech is forcing it. That's my next question. How is the AI bubble affecting this? No one denies it's probably the biggest bubble ever. Will it pop, or will it just suck everything into it like a black hole? And Trump trying to give them liability protection, how does that feed into this, and when could we see the AI bubble pop? Because obviously a lot of people thought that would start to happen after these big stock offerings a few weeks ago.
Well, I think we're starting to see the signs of that happening now. When you've got world-renowned traders that are saying this is way overvalued, this is going to pop, this is very, very similar to what we saw in 2000. And you're right, the AI bubble, any bubble, it acts like this black hole, sucking everything into it and having these overvalued valuations until it's just unsustainable, and then it pops. So, well, I think we're very close to that. And here's the problem. This is causing people to make bad decisions. It's like fear of missing out. When you're seeing all-time highs being hit on the indexes because of AI, it's not because this economy is healthy. We've got inflationary pressures, Alex. We do. We've got them. And this is a problem, which is why this whole new socialism thing is gaining steam with the Democrats, because it's like, yeah, people can't afford to live. And boy, you need the government to take over. You need the government to take care of yourself. And I think that, yeah, this is where the talk of universal basic income is going to come in. Like you just said, now this is going to cause major upheaval with the government being able to take care of some of these things. This is ultimately what's going to be one of the sparks, the AI bubble bursting, the government kind of running out of money. Literally, they won't be able to afford all of these things. That's going to cause upheaval and cause people to look for stability, to look for something that's real, that has accountability, like precious metals. They always go up during times.
And the backlash with all the sociologists and pollsters is much worse than big tech thought it would be to AI. Everybody that pushes AI at universities gets booed off the stage at commencements. All these towns are overthrowing the attempted AI data center takeovers. O'Leary tries to claim it's Chinese propaganda. No, that's not what's doing it. And so major opposition at a grassroots is forming. You've kind of got the new anti-AI, anti-data center populism, which is bipartisan. Then you have the communist lying, saying everything will be free, winning all the major primaries, unseating incumbents from New York to Colorado to California. Very dangerous. And if people say communism is a failed ideology, no, it works for the criminals that push it. They know it's a form of totalitarianism and slavery. So how do those wild cards, how do you see that intersecting into all this change?
Well, I see it. We're at that intersection. You know, when here's where we're celebrating the fourth, right? And it's the American Revolution in 1776, which was a pro-God freedom revolution. You know, it was all about taxation without representation, right? And it's like, that's what defined America. The same exact year, the French Revolution, 1776, where the peasants were uprising against the rich aristocrats and they wanted more from the government. The socialists won in France. And today, France is still a socialist nation, right? So we've got this competing battleground right now. Are we going to have a socialist-style revolution? Or are we going to have a freedom-style revolution in America? You know, both competing right now, right underneath our nose. I think that we are going to have a freedom revolution, Alex. But the battle is going to be really intense. During that battle, you see volatility. You're going to see stock markets come down. You're going to see a demand for more from the government by people, and it's going to come to blows. During times of volatility, you want to have your assets safeguarded. That's where we are with this intersection right now.
I agree. Let's stay there and come back and take calls and get into all the other news you sent me. But I'll go right to calls and come back. But look, it's simple. I could be wrong. wrong rarely. All the elites are buying up gold and silver, land, raw resources, while trying to tell you not to do it. It's a no-brainer. I would take gold and silver right now as a buying opportunity. All the forecast is the industrial level is exploding prices soon.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder, and what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite, and once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well, getmasterpiece.com.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Right. I don't get money from Israel, Qatar, the Iranians, the Russians, the Chinese, the Republicans, the Democrats, anybody. I am supported by you at thealexjonesstore.com with great supplements, great Patriot apparel, knives, really cool stuff, incredible water filtration systems, the very highest rate at the lowest prices you're going to find, and a few good sponsors like Dr. Kirk Elliott. I know my friends, my family, they are all in silver. And it is a smart move. Let's do a plug now, just straight up, because you're a sponsor. We wear the hat of an economist, who I would have on as a guest anyways. And then also, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold. Then they know when they do /gold that it came from us. You just sign up for a free consultation. Super low pressure, folks. In fact, I've called and done it myself. When they don't know it's me, it's too low pressure. Oh, well, let's find out more. Are you sure? Okay, bye. Well, we'll call you. Maybe you need some. So it's the opposite of high pressure. And it's just wholesale, you look at the wholesale price of gold and silver every day, and that's it. Delivered right to your door, or there are suppositories around the country, in your area they can recommend, so where you can deposit it. But the bottom line is KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900. Call, leave your name and number. A lot of times they answer, but they're busy. They might not answer. We'll call you back within a few hours. Set up a free consultation because it's not just gold and silver. They can roll over all sorts of financial instruments into gold and silver, and now's the time to do that. So give us a few-minute plug on the great services, the quality you've got, what to look out for, and then we'll go to some phone calls because this is something that really frustrates me. I love Tucker. He's got a great gold company. I'm not in competition with it. And I know he does like hour-long programs explaining gold and silver and the scams. And then I have people on the street ask me, well, how do I know I'm getting good gold and silver? And it's real simple. You get it from a reputable, high-rated source that has like, you know, 4.9 stars, like Kirk Elliott, the highest, who's the largest because he's the best. And then you don't get numismatic collectibles, and you get bullion, bars or bullion and coins, and it's silver and gold. And you can look at the spot price every day. Is what they're mining it at. You can't get it for that. Anybody says they have a spot, they're lying. You're getting wholesale, and that's the cost out of the ground, and then minting it and making it, and then that's it. And then they sell it back to you for no cost. Nobody of any scale is able to do that. Only because of their massive scale being the biggest can they do that. It's like, not that they're good now. When I was a kid, it was pretty good food. Then they changed all. Bill Gates bought into it with Monsanto like 30 years ago. But, you know, Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, said, I want it consistent. I want it quick. He goes, we make a much smaller profit, but we sell 1,000 times more burgers. So you only get deals like this at huge scalability. So you're crazy if you don't get into silver. Yeah, gold's gone up a lot overall in the last few years, but Kirk's right. That's not the place yet. Silver right now. Kirk, I want to go to these phone calls, but give people a pitch for your great company, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold.
Your impersonation of my team was pretty good. They're just sweet. They're just really sweet people that very low pressure, right? We want to hear your concerns, answer your questions. And if you want to move forward, we're here to help.
No, I had some family that called and they said, boy, you're not kidding. They're low pressure. They're like, well, let's meet with you again. We want to go over this. Are you sure now? Well, all right. Well, okay. Well, call me back tomorrow. And it's like, you might want to turn the heat up a little more pressure there, Kirk. They're like, we want to buy some right now. By the way, I've told you, you know this, you could go online, like everybody does, sell this stuff at wholesale all day long, but you won't do that. Explain why.
Yeah, so low pressure because we want to make you feel comfortable, right? We're not going to push anything down. Now, your competition, you know, when you're looking at us, you're looking at some of these other companies. I'm talking about the viewers.
It's like buying a timeshare. They're going to put screws to you.
They are going to be very high pressure. And here's my warning. Never, ever, 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 ever buy anything other than bullion. Don't buy commemoratives. Don't buy anything that's high premium. And here's the reason.
You know, when I brought up Tucker, they make it so like an hour to understand it. Only buy wholesale. You can check the price every day. Wholesale, 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 wholesale. It's so simple. And still, as you know, most of the other companies aren't doing that, and people still fall for it. Why? It's so simple, Kirk. Sorry, I'm frustrated.
It is so simple. And here's the reason why buying something other than bullion is so dangerous. Ultimately, gold and silver are going to peak out. What's going to happen when that happens? Everybody is going to be selling, not buying. If you're buying anything other than bullion, those people selling that are going to have to make a market for it. They're going to have to call client B and say, hey, have I got a deal for you? We just got this inventory in, and there's going to be no buyers, which means you're going to get absolute garbage prices for it if you can sell it at all, right? I mean, that's the danger. When you buy bullion, it's a global commodity. Samsung needs it. Sony needs it. Tesla needs it. It's bullion commodity. You press a button. It's liquidated to the exchange. This is why it's important that you only have bullion, right? Because everything else you have to make a market for, and that's dangerous.
So two rules. Well, really, three rules. Go to a reputable company with the highest ratings like you. Bullion, wholesale. Reputable company, bullion, wholesale. Reputable company, bullion, wholesale. Very simple.
Yeah. Don't overpay for your stuff. Your exit strategy should be just as important as your entrance, right? That's why we charge zero when you liquidate. Right. And there's numerous ways to actually get into gold and silver. You can do it with your IRAs, rollovers, your brokerage accounts. You know, you just wire the funds and you can take delivery of it or store it at a reputable depository, which we've already vetted. It's really easy. We do all of the hard work for you. My team will. You just have to fill out a form. Right. And it's like, yeah, let authorize the funds, wire the funds, send us a check. However you want to do it, we make it easy.
And you make it easy rolling over financial instruments. Tell them about that.
Yeah, so if you have an old 401k, let's say from a previous job or 403b, or you have a current one and you're over 59 and a half, you can roll that into an IRA. See, you can't own physical gold and silver in a 401k. It can only be done in an IRA. So you just roll it into an IRA. Or, and if it has IRA in the name, we can do it. A simple, a SEP, a traditional, a Roth, an inherited, doesn't matter. We can do that. And the process is easy. It's about a 15-minute e-sign application. And then my team handles the asset transfer. And when the funds come in, it is not our money. It's your money. So we call you, say, hey, we've got your funds in. Would you like to allocate it? We go over it. You give us the go ahead and we don't do it without your permission, right? Because it's your money. It's not mine.
People need to call and get a free consultation, 720-605-3900 or kbm.com/gold. Fill out the form, name, email, and they'll get with you and it's the way to go. You know, I noticed this cup. This cup got mailed to us by a listener. It's got to be like 20 years ago. Okay, so this has been in the InfoWars offices. It's just one of my coffee cups. Yes, I took my coffee cups. And I was realizing while I was sitting here drinking out of it, because I just reached to the cupboard here at the new office and grabbed a coffee cup and got some coffee, you know, during the last break. Overhead shot. And I noticed it's this beautiful cup with an American gold eagle and a black shield, 1776 to 1976. That was the 200th. Unfortunately, that's coffee, so I can't show you how cool it looks in the light. And then it says on the back here, and I guess this is from the time I was like 2 years old, and it says, share with us our pride and commemoration of our nation's 200th anniversary. So I realized that the anniversary is this weekend, I just so happened to have this cool cup. Some cool person, I forget the letter that came with it. I remember when it came, and I thought, that's a nice cup. This is from the Sesquicentennial. I want to go to these calls just briefly. I know you're an American patriot. You also are a theologian. You were on the Focus for the Family board, one of the very best Christian organizations fighting for American values for so long. They got attacked by the Southern Poverty Law Center trying to kill them. But to you, just briefly, what does America 250 mean? Because people in polls are ashamed to be an American more and more. They want to take a kneeler in the flag. They think it's dirty. They think all the problems we see is America. They don't get it's the globalists and that they want to demoralize us. We need to celebrate what made America great more than ever, don't we? Because if people haven't traveled around the world and don't know, this is the best house in a bad neighborhood, and it's a competing system to the globalist transhumanism austerity and needs to be defended and celebrated. That's why one great thing Trump is doing is this big freedom train across the country, is him having these big events. I mean, I think that's a really good thing Trump's doing. Can you speak to that, Dr. Elliott? We'll go to calls.
Yeah, I mean, what is America? It's the American dream. It's freedom. It's the ability to own property and to grow and to thrive and create something special for future generations. What is wrong with that? Nothing. What is wrong with America today is not that. It's socialism. It's the opposite. It's communism. It's pulling away from those freedoms to actually add to government power. Not what the founding fathers envisioned for our country, which was separation of powers. It was giving power to the people, and the government was actually there for the people. Right now, the government basically says, oh, the people are there for us, right? And that's what socialism and communism is. And, you know, the way that America was founded was on biblical ideas of freedom and ownership and the ability to make choices. You know, there's consequences to our choices if we make
bad. That's right. Because people don't know. If you were born in Italy, yeah, you could only grow up in the class you were in. If you were born in England, pretty much the same thing. If you were born in the Austro-Hungarian Empire or Russia or Japan, this place is revolutionary, but people just don't appreciate it.
Yeah. People today overall, and I'm not talking about your listeners. I'm not, but what socialism is all about is like, yeah, you're going to make all kinds of horrible mistakes and you're not going to have to pay for them because the government will always take care of you. You know, I would rather live in a system where I am encouraged to take calculated risks or risks or make good decisions or make bad decisions.
It's called a meritocracy. It's competition. It's night and day compared to stagnancy of communism.
Yeah. When you make a good decision, you can be blessed abundantly from it. If you make a bad one, you know what? You learn from your mistakes and you move on. That's how I've taught my kids. That's how America should be, not relying on somebody else for your livelihood.
I saw these two young girls a few days ago that murdered some innocent 40-year-old mother at a Sonic burger joint because they had an argument. They stabbed her to death and laughed about it as they were arraigned and thought it was funny. Totally disconnected. They're going to prison for decades. Totally disconnected that they're in Cuckoo Town. It's white kids, black kids. They're all doing it. It's like they're missing something. You're absolutely right, Dr. Elliott. Let's hit a few phone calls here. Great points you made. Let's go to Vannon, Arizona. You're on the air with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. What's going on, Kirk? So my son's 13. He had a summer job this year. Wants to know if he should buy silver with his summer money. And what do you forecast it let's say the war goes on in Iran the way Ukraine has over a long period of time. What do you forecast with precious metals? Also, another question tied into that having to do with war. What happens if something pops off in Taiwan? And then one more question. So three things. What do you see with a reverse crash with precious metals? What happens in that case with precious metals?
Those are excellent, excellent, excellent questions. I know this. War continues. Inflation goes way up. I would think that would make gold and silver go up. But Elliot's been right. The war actually made it go down. Explain that to me. And then get into the other questions. Thank you, sir. Man.
Yeah. So great questions. Number one, congratulations on your 13-year-old wanting to invest. You've done good as a dad. I love that, right? So invest wisely. I think moving forward, I don't know how long we're going to have volatility and move sideways here. It depends on the conflict. If there's conflict that happens in Taiwan, you know, or in China, It's different than a conflict that happens in Iran, because conflict in the Middle East always has to do with oil. This is why things went sideways. Normally, conflict would cause metals to go up. This one caused them to come down because the narrative changed from conflict as safe haven asset like gold and silver to, boy, oil's going up. We're going to have to keep interest rates higher for longer rather than lowering them to stimulate the domestic economy. Everything's in upheaval. So,
and so they thought that meant the deflation, but it's not done that.
Hasn't done that yet because we're seeing.
And you predicted they would make that mistake, but now that it's gone up, then they can't suppress it long.
They can't. And Kevin Warsh came in and did a 180 on Trump, right? He basically said, no, I'm not going to lower interest rates like what we said we were going to do.
You predicted that he put him in there to lower them. Now he says they're going up.
Yeah. And so now they're going to keep them higher for longer. This is going to put a damper on the economy. When there's a damper on the economy, here's the end result. The Fed is going to print their way out of it. They're going to debase the currency like they do in every country around the world. So ultimately, the narrative will shift, brother, to something where people start looking at the fundamentals of inflation rather than the talk of interest rates. Encourage your son to get into silver when it's at $60 an ounce, because it's going to go up. Now, I'm not God. I don't control the markets, right? But when this conflict does end, you start to see the metals shoot
all
up,
the fundamentals in manufacturing. I would say this. If you need the money for something right now, then only put a little bit in. But I would imagine the safest bet out of everything would be all in if he's ready to wait 6 months, a year, probably not even that long. But I'm not giving him advice. I'm telling him what I would tell my son. Thanks for the call. Do you agree with that statement, Kirk?
I agree.
All right, Dave in FEMA Region 9, you're on the air worldwide with Kirk Elliott.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, Alex. Appreciate the opportunity, Dr. Elliott.
Thank you.
I was fortunate. I put my money in 2020 in February, 25% gold, 75% silver, but then in 2022, shifted to all silver. My challenge now, though, is despite what the job reports are, and I think they're misleading, that there's record numbers of people with jobs, probably a lot of them are like me. I'm working part-time jobs, so the unemployment rate doesn't go down. And I'm in a pinch now because I'm months behind on my mortgage and car payment, and I've had to liquidate some of my silver holdings. So I'm just wondering what you think the prospect is if I have to continue to liquidate some of my assets over the next 2 or 3 months until I dig myself out.
I mean, I'm not an economist like Elliott, but with all the fundamentals I see, I don't see how silver isn't, by the end of the year, at record levels, breaking its previous record, and I see the same for gold, and that's what all the big boys say, and that's what they're doing with their money. Kirk, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And so your time frame when you got in, probably upper teens, low 20s, would be my guess into silver. Is that about right?
18, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I did average cost dollaring in the 20s, 29. I did a big purchase.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you how my brain works. 24. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll tell you how my brain works. If I had got in at 18 like you did, of course, I've been in bankruptcy, so I have nothing. Literally, I have, like, nothing. But I've watched family and stuff do well. Man, if I bought at 18, when it hit 100 and something, I would have dumped half of it, even though it's going to go up huge later, just to do that profit take. That's just how I am. But if you, the really smart investors would have just held on even through this, but that's how I operate. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So here's where even after this pullback in price, you still more than doubled. That's a blessing, right? So moving forward, again, we're going to have volatility for a little bit. Sell off as little as you can just to make ends meet and hold on to the majority if you can, right? Life happens. Things happen. The good thing is life is happening. You need funds. You've more than doubled. That's fantastic.
And you made the right decision earlier so that in a rainy day, you're in a good position.
Yeah, just sell off the minimum amount possible to make ends meet. And that way you're going to have the majority of it still working for you, because I do think that these prices go up a lot in the future. So hold on to whatever you can. Just liquidate as you need to. Make ends meet.
All right. Thank you, Dave. We got to jump. I'm moving quick here. Sean in Denver on Kirk Elliott, Digital U.S. Currencies. Go ahead. You're on the air, Sean.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah.
What the grace by God that I'm calling in here today, because I ran into you the other day, Kirk, over there at Union Station, and introduced myself and talked to you a little bit about what's coming biblically and stuff, and the fact that I had a message for Alex. And really quick, I got a question for you, Kirk, and I forgot to ask it the other day, but I'd just like to just mention something really quick. When it comes to you, Alex, in an episode that you had back in 2017, really important one, when you guys were talking about how we're saved by grace, you were talking about salvation, you were talking about the rapture, and how you said, prepare for post, but pray for pre. I thought that was a great mindset to kind of prepare for the rapture, prepare for biblical prophecy in and of itself, and just kind of war game it all.
Yeah, I'm not going to guess God's plans. I'm just going to try to be as close to God as I can and just do the right thing, and I'm not going to sit there and obsess over it.
Right. No point in obsessing over it, but to war game it is very impossible, and to talk about the different variabilities and the different things that...
Oh, I agree, war game. I'm just saying other people get totally paralyzed by it.
Oh, I know, and that's why you shouldn't, and you shouldn't get too emotional talking about it or too invested in one notion or the other, but you should explore the theological part of it, because you can still have that mindset and still, you know, sell gold and everything else, because I personally believe in a pre-trib, but I also believe that we can, you know, occupy and prepare for war as right now, and act as though we are the tribulation saints.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. I sure hope it's a pre-tribulation rapture. That'd be great. But I don't know if Ellie can do five more minutes to take two more calls. He may have to go, because I want to talk to Brian and Justin. You're doing five more, Kirk. You're drafted. I'm sorry. Sean, what was your question on digital currencies? Or do you have a question from Kirk if he believes, because he's a theologian, has a degree, in pre-tribulation or post-tribulation? I guess, what's your take on that, Kirk?
Well, I, like you, I'm prepared either way, right? It's like, I pray for pre, but you know what? If it's post, ready to fight, right? And so here's where we just always need to prepare for the worst and pray, you know, pray for the best. And we don't know. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know that I'm ready either way.
That's
either
right.
Way, I know where my destination is, and going to be just fine. He'll get us through anything.
That's right. We know how it ends. Kirk, you got a quick question on digital currencies real fast. Go ahead. I mean, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah. How long do you think that rug pull is going to take? I mean, I know it's going to probably be overnight where they take the cash, but transferring us all over to this digital currency, the digital ID, social credit score, all that mess.
Yeah, that's one of the points he sent me was, is it one of the biggest moves towards digital currency just happened. Kirk, thanks for the call. Sean, start getting into that point that I forgot to get to.
Yeah, so when it happens, Sean's right, it's going to happen like overnight, so quick, because the speed of AI is going so fast. You know, even the Rothschilds family office is making statements like, wow, this whole AI thing, this whole move towards digital money is going quicker than what we expected. So what are they doing? They're investing in AI and whatnot. But what they're really saying is they're the bankers of the world. They're getting prepared for central bank digital currency. See, this is where we need to be prepped to counteract central bank digital currency with decentralized blockchain, distributed ledger, you know, because it's coming whether we like it or not. And I think when it happens, it is going to be like night and day switch. It's going to happen, and we're starting to see it right now. I don't know the exact date, obviously, but it's coming quicker than what we think, Alex.
Absolutely, and you've got all these powerful forces in different blocks, the BRICS, the U.S., globalists, they're all jockeying for who will get the system in, and there's competing systems. So nobody knows which one, not even the globalists. They admit that, and I've done some deep study. They don't. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts. like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the Rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyrannies in 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, Ride Fast, Live Free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 Free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the Deep State. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 Years of Freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, final segment with Dr. Kirk Elliott. I am loaded for bear with masses of news. I haven't even hit yet, and your phone calls coming up in this hour. But I wanted to do two more calls for Kirk Elliott. Justin in Tennessee and then Brian in Idaho. Sorry to others, but I don't have time to get to you. We appreciate you. Justin in Tennessee, you're on the air worldwide with The Economist. Dr. Kirk Elliott, go ahead.
Hey there, Alex. First, I have to say thank you. You brought my interest in silver many years ago, and I got in at $25 on average and sold off my initial position at around 98. So now I'm free and clear to hold. I know. But other than that, Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you. I really appreciate all of your work. My real question comes down to is what this next wave of inflation is going to be in. I believe it's to be in mostly consumer goods. Back in 2008, when they started doing all of the money printing, it was the financial assets at the top, stocks, et cetera. And then the 2020 wave seemed to be into the lower, more accessible assets like real estate and cars because of debt issuance. My question is, one, do you think that inflation comes from debt, both from the issuance of bonds and also through retail access to debt? And with that being the case, the only thing that's available now really for consumers to take debt on with because they're so maxed out is the lower level things like maybe seeing the buy now, pay later stuff more frequent with buying an order from Chipotle or something. What's your thoughts?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think you're going to see, you're right, consumer goods are going to be inflated. Commodities overall, right? Because commodities overall, whether it's food or steel or coal or gold or silver.
Yeah.
I mean, they
anything
go up with inflation.
Real, they're land, gold, everything. Silver, copper. I mean, anything real when you're in a giant inflationary orgy and a debt orgy, that's a guarantee.
Yeah, it is. And debt is a big, You're spot on with your analysis here because debt is the main driver of what I think is going to put a pinch into people when inflation is the worst. Because if you get an interest, volatility is so much in the bond market right now, a 1% increase in interest rates on the long bond will cause the bond to come down by 17% in price, right? This is going to kill the bond market with rates higher for
you
got to
come back next week and get into that because we're out of time to do one more call. But here's the thing, folks. Even if we get stagflation, which we looks like we're going to get, either way, commodities only go up. Even if they go down compared to the rest of the economy, it'll be up. So it's the best house in a bad neighborhood, as I love to say. Brian in Idaho, you're on the air worldwide. Final caller, quick question. Thank you.
Alex, thanks for having me. Before I begin, I wanted to pitch a couple products. I'm really excited about the Ultimate Power. I was a huge fan of the Turbo Force. helped me get off that afternoon coffee, 10 hours clean energy, no impact on the sleep. So can't say enough good things about that and the colostrum and methylene blue. You guys hit on it earlier, but I have to mention, your listeners need to understand how honorable of a thing that you and Dr. Elliott are doing as you guys push strictly getting into bullion. I sold commodities for a long time, and I know how easy it would be for you to take advantage of your audience. It's an incredibly predatory industry, and some of the closers at those places are incredibly slick and really effective. So what you guys are doing is really something that if people don't understand the market, they don't understand what you guys are doing, but at a really high level, it's incredibly honorable. And I think that represents what you do with your sponsors and the products that you sell. So,
well, thank you for that plug. I appreciate it. We're almost out of time. What was the question for Elliott or the statement?
I've been in this AI space for a while. I have a lot of high-level conversations with these organizations. Dr. Elliott, where do you feel that the AI bubble falls into the equation as it relates to being backdropped at a national security level? You know, obviously, it doesn't seem like we have much.
Yeah, even if the bubble pops, they're going to nationalize it, I believe. Elliott, give us your take. Thank you, sir. Sorry, I got to cut you off. Talking for hours.
Agreed. Yeah, AI is here to stay. The prices of AI shares are not. Right. That's irrational exuberance, but we're moving into a world of AI. It's not going anywhere. But just like anything, we saw the tech bubble burst in 2000. The internet is still here. It changed the world. AI is going to change the world. But you have to be careful of the prices.
Just like the dot-com bubble. Absolutely. Elliott, thank you so much. KPM.com/gold 720-605-000. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, the callers. We'll be right back with more news. Stay with us.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble. At rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Real-time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
I put me spinach aside, and I've been using Ultimate Power from the AlexJonesStore.com.
This hour. The phone system's wide open. I'm going to get the number out now. The number to join us is 512-266-0642. We're taking first-time calls today. 512-266-0642. You got a question, you got a comment, any issue you want to raise, but first-time callers. We don't screen your calls. You'll tell us where you're calling from, the topic, that's fine. You don't tell us the topic, it's fine too. You can just say wild card. You can say your name's Easter Bunny. I don't care. 512-266-0642. All right. Let's continue here now with the news that we've got. And there is a lot of it, obviously. But this particular, I'm just going to cover a bunch of stuff right now. It's all over the map. Now, last week, a bunch of stuff happened in Europe, but a bunch of different oligarchs and rich Ukrainians got shot. They got blown up with bombs in their apartments. Some disappeared. And the Russians busted this terrorist, young man, like 18, and they got a bunch of documents that were on him about terror plots for the Ukrainians and how they were going to target Ukrainians, too, that helped Zelensky get in and have these call centers running all these fraud scams against the whole world, including the U.S., Russia, Europe, you name it. And I saw headlines when this first happened, started happening a few weeks ago, and it's accelerated with this latest bombing of this oligarch, saying Russia did it with no evidence. But Interpol says it's Zelensky. And you've got Interpol now investigating Zelensky. So look at this headline, Zero Head. Zelensky secret police being looked at by investigators for Monaco bomb attack. The manhunt continues, chiefly focused in France, or also nearby Italy, for the culprit who committed Monday's parcel bomb attack on an exiled Ukrainian oligarch and his family at their luxury apartment building in Monaco. The victims, Vadim Lermontov, again, I apologize. I can't, a lot of these Slavic names, I apologize. Vadim Lermontov, the partner or the wife, according to contradictory reports, and his 13-year-old child, all survived the bombing. And it goes on from there, but the assassins fleeing. My point is that this is the type of crap going on. And when the Nord Stream pipeline gets blown up, it's the Russians. Though that came out the U.S. did it. Biden said, we'll blow it up if you invade Ukraine. And then when I cover this, I see the comments on X. Oh, you're a Russian agent. We can't believe a Russian agent. When I said the mullahs wouldn't fall probably for a year or longer, that's a Pentagon assessment. When I said they closed the strait, they passed a law during Midnight Hammer last year saying they would. I just tell the truth. I don't fantasy land and lie to people, okay? This idiocy that you're a Nazi if you don't want Israel controlling your foreign policy and getting us into wars, or you're a Qatari agent or a Russian agent if you just call balls and strikes. And I'm not even defending myself. I'm just sick of it. Not that I'm being attacked. I see it all the place. It's that we dealt with 8 years of Trump being a Russian agent. And it was not true. Meanwhile, the Bidens and the Democrats are literally being paid off by the Russians, the Clintons, for uranium deals and stuff. So it's just, and the point I was going to make is, I see these national talk show hosts, I see these big influencers naming me by name, and I'm not even out looking for this, I just see it pop up in my feed. And last night, I shouldn't have done it, because I usually don't even follow people attacking me, but I wanted to hear what they're saying. And I was watching a couple of big influencers and other people, and they're just like, yeah, Jones needs to be in a camp. Jones needs to be, you know, in a CIA black site. Him and Tucker Carlson for being, you know, Russian and Iranian and Qatari agents and, you know, all the rest of it. How dare Jones say that Israel's dragging us into this war? Trump has said that. Trump says Israel's dragging us in. Netanyahu's bragged. Trump has now blamed Israel, which is a good off-ramp for him. You can blame him for going along with it, but it is Israel did this. Their lobby, they're the ones that pushed it. They're in the driver's seat. But you guys don't deal in logic because you're getting your Israeli check, and they are. They're like, I'm a Christian Zionist, and I've got my Israeli flag behind me and my menorah, and I'm not Jewish, but I'm a Christian Zionist. And I'm just like, what the hell universe have we woken up in? It's the neocons that were never Trumpers, that hated Trump, got control of Trump for a while. He knows it's a disaster. He now agrees with America Firsters. And then they turn around and ignore that Trump agrees with us and act like we're traitors. You're the traitors on the payroll of a foreign government. And I have never made everything about Israel, because Israel was always in control of Middle Eastern policy to a great extent, but not in dominant control here domestically. You have the teachers' unions, big tech, military-industrial complex, But now AIPAC really is trying to be in control and pretty much is in control and primarying whoever they want, except they can't primary Democrats because they've gone pure anti-Israel, pure commie. So that party's rising from the ashes and taking over there and literally is, you know, wants to kill every Jew they get their hands on. And then you've got the Israel lobby attacking Trump's real base that are just good patriots. And it's you're creating a perfect storm. So I didn't mean to go off, punch the phone system up for me though, I can see it right there. I am so tired of this because what I believe is what I say. What I predict is what I believe. That's why we're so accurate. It stands on its own. And it's so rich. It's so disgusting. The irony to have all these never Trumpers like Lady Lindsey Graham and all the rest of them. Never Trumpers running around saying we're all traitors when they've been proven wrong about everything they said and did. And the illogic of the Christian Zionists mad at those of us like Tulsi Gabbard, Tucker Carlson, myself, that were right about all this. And then we're right, and then we're worse than we've ever been. No, you're wrong. You're stupid. Your plan failed. I said it on March 1st, 123 days ago when this started. I said, if you could hit a button and send the Moodles to Mars, I'd do it. I said, if they really fall in 4 days or even in a month, I'll get Dom Perignon on air. I rarely do that. Like when Trump wins, I do it. Like I've done it like twice. And we're going to drink champagne on air. Didn't happen, did it? You owe me an apology. But by running around calling everybody Hitler that doesn't agree with you running our lives, a lot of people aren't as sophisticated as me. They're like, you know what? I love Hitler now. And in a way, that's not healthy, but in a way, people getting so radical in the Overton window that they're not under the guilt of the left and Black Lives Matter and Israel and America did the Holocaust and, you know, and World War II's here and Israel's the Jews and America's Hitler. And, you know, if you don't do what they say, you're Hitler. People need to reject that, but they're rejecting it to the extreme. If I wanted to be popular, I would wear a stormtrooper outfit. I don't mean from Star Wars. I mean from, you know, the brown shirts. I would wear, you know, a Hitler brown uniform with an iron cross and cut my, you know, mustache, you know, to Hitler. I mean, you saw that Fox News piece I heard earlier from Jesse Waters, where only one person out of like 30 knew why the country had a revolution, who we fought against, what the anniversary was. One woman knew, one young lady. Black, white, you name it, didn't know anything. I did it as a stunt last year. You saw it because I was shaving my beard, not paying attention early morning. I went with the razor, cut it off. And I was like, oh, let me just shave it all off. And then we were going to hike around my neighborhood. So my personal trainer got there to do push-ups. And he goes, you know what? Do a Hitler stash. This is a joke for one day. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So I did it. And then I only kept it, you know, that morning, went to the grocery store, went, you know, and I literally had women mock, like, ooh, people like, who are you? Are you famous? They didn't even know it was Hitler. They just knew it was iconic in their subconscious. And I mean, I have women talk to me, period. Even when I was a fat ass, they were still attracted to me. I'm like, I don't know why they're doing this, but when I was young, I looked like a Calvin Klein model. So I'm used to women hitting on me, but I'm telling you, at the gas station and at HEB, I literally had people, women, like I was Brad Pitt or something walking, because again, all people are so dumbed down. It's like, oh, that's powerful. That's a no-no. That's a bad boy. What is that? Who are you? Who are you supposed to be? Who are you? Wow, you really are handsome. And I was like, what the hell is this? Cause I'm like in the store getting some stuff kind of, you know, I'm like, I'm Hitler, you know. So to Israel thinking, calling everybody Hitler and doing that, and people that also think when I'm trying to speak sense into Israel, oh, you're scared of the Jews or you're on their payroll. Ain't no checks I ever got from Israel. All I got is grief from the Israel lobby. The law firms, Israel backed, Bloomberg, all of it. I mean, give me a break. I've had the Jewish mafia try to take me off the air along with the CIA and the Justice Department. It's been a whole group for at least 15 years. It's been hell. But I took the high road and, you know, didn't, you know, then the Southern Poverty Law Center that runs the white supremacist groups trying to infiltrate me and our operation. I mean, I have been I have been stomped on, but I didn't get down on that level just like that lobby wanted, because they want us to be Nazis so they can play victim. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. I mean, I'm out in public. I talk to people. Man, this is really boomerang back with political incorrectness. It's gone to the other extreme. The average Hispanic, the average black person, the average white person loves Adolf Hitler now. Hitler is probably the most popular person in the world after Jesus right now. I have to know way too much about Hitler, way too much about the Nazis, way too much about what they did. There's this weird cosmology that he was this angel and a big Christian and he didn't start World War II and all this fake history. And people believe it, folks. But Israel's got its fake history about World War II. And you've been found out that a lot of what you're saying is not true. Now they're going the other direction. So you ought to be kissing my ass for doing real history and real intellectual stuff. But you're too wound up with your chutzpah, too wound up all encouraging each other to commit Amalek and kill everybody, and everybody fawning to foam at the mouth, just like the Muslims. The most extreme of you are now in the catbird seat. So there's my rant before I go to calls to the Israel lobby, that Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. I'm not the Muslims' enemy. I just know the Quran says take over, and so faithful Muslims are here to take over. I don't hate you personally, but I'm not going to be conquered by you. And you've got the brand of Judaism that is expansionist and supremacist, that uses the existential threat to itself when it's expanding and taking over, not by numbers, but by power and organizational skill, that then forms and you summon the Gola. You summon the thing that you think you'll defeat, but through that crisis, you'll get even more power. That ain't going to happen. And you're going to get everybody else killed along with you. So I'm just saying, stop now. If you think conjuring Hitler was a good move, you're conjuring something way worse. And let me tell you, being anti-Jew is way more popular than it was in the 1930s. So I'm sitting here as like a sociologist, an anthropologist, a psychologist, a historian, a futurist, like a bug on the wall, fly on the wall, and I'm going, have you thought about second, third, fourth order to the Jews? And I'm telling all the anti-Jew people, have you thought about second, third, fourth order? Do you know this collision? Because the people running Israel, they think they know what they're doing. They think they're going to come out on top. Or they're crazy enough to roll the dice. And I'm like saying, I'm Switzerland here. But this is nuclear and this is biological now. There is no Switzerland to hide out in. If I thought there was some country I could run to and safely sit all this out, you think I'm going to sit here with the Democrats, get back in power, the DOJ wants to put me in prison? That's all been declassified? You think I want to, but there's nowhere to go. I have to stop the nuclear war. I have to stop the global race war. I have, because my family and I are cooked. You're all cooked. This is a fourth turning. This is a total shift. And Israel thinks it's going to reboot the narrative of World War II, and we're all Red Skull unless you do what Israel says, and then you're an angel. And I mean, that dog ain't hunting, man. You have made the radical Muslims look like the good guys. What is your, you stood down on October 7th. You funded Hamas. And I tuned to these Christian Zionists, the radical Muslims, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Al-Qaeda, the ISIS, the, oh my God, attacking our portal Israel. And meanwhile, the U.S. government and Israel are financing and funding all of it other than the Shiites. But they funded the clients with the Shiites, the Muslim Brotherhood, working with them through the Hamas turkeys. And boy, you try to talk to a Christian Zionist about that. Oh, really? Why is Israel create Hamas and funding it? Oh! A bunch of propaganda, anti-Semitic. It's like, shut up. Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining. You're going to get everybody killed. Or we'll wish we're dead. It doesn't matter anymore. It does matter, but I just, you look at, I mean, Fox News didn't cherry pick those people. I've gone out and done those reports ourselves, even before Jesse Waters was doing it, and people did it before me. I got it from, who are the comics? They've been doing it on HBO forever. Penn and Teller. And you go out and talk to 100 people on the hike and bike trail. They go, I'm an engineer. And they're like, I think the hydrogen monoxide is deadly and we should ban it. It causes, you know, all sorts of problems. It can kill you if you're immersed in it. You know, it can cause excess urination. And 99% of people sign a petition to ban hydrogen monoxide. It's water, folks. You can give them the scientific name for salt, and 99% of people sign a form to ban salt. They think carbon dioxide is carbon monoxide. And so I look at that, and I go, okay, Zionists, you think everybody's dumb and retarded? Most people are, okay? But that doesn't mean you're that smart just because you're smarter than these people. And there's a bunch of goyim out there that are damn smart, you know, that invented quantum mechanics and everything else. So, you know, you need to understand that just because you're smarter than the average retard, that don't mean you're Superman, okay? And there's a bunch of Jews that are smart telling Netanyahu and the path you're on to get everybody killed. I agree with them. So just knock it off and stop thinking you're God and stop following the later versions of the Zohar that say you're more powerful than God. And your interpretation that Israel means he that wrestles with God and wins. That's not what you're, okay. You got some whacked out rabbis say that. That's not all of them. I read all your stuff or most of it. If I wanted to sit here and make you look bad, I'd sit up here and read this crap every day. And I'd get into your moils and all the rest of crap. I'm just telling you right now that you need to get off the power trip. And everybody wound up all wild-eyed about, oh, God, it's great. Everybody hates the Jews. We're going to finally kill them all, and then we'll all have heaven on earth. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. There's not evil Gentiles. There's not megalomaniac Gentiles. There's not crazy people out there on all groups. And some of the Jews are right. They're like, yeah, you're just jealous we're more competent than a lot of you. There are a lot of great Jews who are competent doing good things, but you've chosen the dark side. And the dark side works in the first few moves, and then it curses you after it. Oh, I know your Talmud and your Babylonian Talmud, you know, says that's not true. Well, I don't follow Kabbalah. I've read it. It's all a lie. Oh, the force balances the light and the dark, and we use the dark some, and we use the light some. It's like Glenn Danzig's really smart, great, you know, writing, all the rest of it. He says, well, I'm not really a Satanist. I use Christianity and Satanism. I use the light and the dark. And I'm balancing it, whatever I can get power from. Really, all I see is darkness out of Danzig. So you're not really, the truth is you're not really using both sides. The truth is you're fallen, we're all fallen, we're not God. We have a little shard of God, little g. And we're already fallen enough that we got to go for the light and be good as we can and try to be as godlike as we can. Because don't worry, we got enough evil already. It's going to manifest itself no matter how much we try. But if you go, well, I'm going to use a little evil over here. I'm going to use a little dirty tactic over here because I can win. And, you know, that's just the balance of this. You're lying to yourself and you're making a Faustian bargain. All right, I went on an Israel rant. I'm watching everyone in this clash of civilizations prepare to be destroyed. We're going to go to Leo, Tanner, Chris, Glenn, and Adeloaf. That's a cool name. I'll put it down. I'm just seeing if I'm reading it right. I never heard that name. Adolfo. Adolphus? Adolfo? Adolfo. Is that the Spanish Adolf? You know, Adolf's a popular name in Latin America. That's because, you know, the Germans, the Austro-Hungarian Empire actually ran a bunch of that. They had an emperor down there and ran Mexico. That's why they got good trains. It's why you got a bunch of Volkswagen manufacturing down there forever. And that's why they got good beer in Latin America, because the Germans went in there and taught them all their beer brewing. Side issue. That's why they got the polka music. Interesting cultures there. So we'll talk to Adolfo in Florida on the Chinese banks in New York. Glenn on the 250th anniversary, July 4th. Chris in California preparedness. Tanner in Canada on Canada under Carney is a nightmare. Boy, I can see that. Leo in California on old Piers Morgan. And then we got the deep dive on the geopolitics, the biggest developments in Iran and in Russia with the one, the only former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, really smart anti-terrorism expert, Matt Bracken. But before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. We have the start of summer kickoff sale that ends in a week. every 3 days, and one item is buy one, get one free. And right now, it's our Shilajit capsule complex with all these amazing peptides. You don't know about Shilajit, look into it. We got the best. Boost testosterone naturally without lowering your normal one. It boosts your, makes your body itself produce it. This is good stuff. I'm on it right now. And it's amazing. Buy one, get one free. Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox, 50% off. Those are the two specials for the next couple days. That's the new special. And we also have today being the last day that you can buy one bovine colostrum powder and get one free. And we have the new bovine colostrum natural grape flavor with grape pectin and flavored with natural plant sweets. It's tapioca, and these are almost sour. They're so good. This is delicious. It tastes like Hubba Bubba grape, but it's not artificial, and it's concentrated with all of the incredible ingredients that come naturally out of bovine colostrum. It is deliciosos. Get your grape-flavored bovine colostrum gummies now, 25% off out of the gates at thealexandstore.com. How you look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. You know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionists for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. Bottom line, all of the high-quality supplements we sell at thealexandstore.com have a 5-star rating. We have over a 90% reorder rate. Nobody has that. These are all the best because I want them to work. I want you to love them. I want you to appreciate us and be happy with what we brought you so you reorder it again and again. Believe me, folks, bovine colostrum is one of our best products. You want to get it. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit gummies, our CMOS. They're all incredible products. But this colostrum really is special. Get yours now, again, at thealexandstore.com. And I want to thank you again for keeping us on the air. A very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July, with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it, taken out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people. It is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity.
The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
I'm going to get into election fraud, mail-in ballots, the Supreme Court, and new evidence and research. Guy proves mail-in ballots are not secure. No kidding. But right now, let's go to Leo in California, then Tanner, Chris, and others. Go ahead, Leo.
I just want to start off by saying 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Is that clear?
I just want to pay homage to the other day's special where you put the Pierce Morgan interview. I just want to say that was a classic.
Thank you.
Yeah, my whole family. I remember when that came on, and man, that was awesome. Also, I just want to,
Pierce Morgan is still extremely butthurt over that.
Is he really? Wow. Mm-hmm. You really just kind of destroyed him. But it was great publicity, like you said, for your name and the show and everything else. And
well, it got aired everywhere. I mean, they had like, it was in like Hollywood Reporter, you name it. That was the top rated, news clip. They still did that back then, 2013, the top rated news, most viral clip of 2013.
Yeah, I bet you they instantly regretted letting you on the.
Oh, they cut the interview short. It was live, and I was like, you know, all the mass shooters have been on Prozac type drugs. I just saw your ads during the break. Oh, and you're like, oh, don't want that said.
I can speak in a British accent as well, Pierce.
Oh, I love that part.
The murder. I own hundreds of firearms. We're quite secure in Texas, Pierce. I'm more intellectual than you.
Do you know at the moment, like, sometimes the things you say and how you say them, do you know that they're going to go viral or that it's going to become?
I never really think about it. And I used to screw around more and have more fun. Everybody says I should do that again. I used to be like 10% comedy, but then they would, you know, over and over again, like, take it out of context and just have it in the news article as a quote, you know, and like, I love Bill Gates, kill everyone. And they'd be like, Jones said kill everyone. And it's like, obviously I'm not being serious when I say that. So yeah, things have gotten so serious, I've gotten a lot more serious.
Yeah, I've noticed, you're still amazing.
Oh, you're too nice.
I've noticed there's been a change where you're more, I don't want to say the word professional, but you almost know how to control yourself a little more. Like the ADD isn't.
Exactly. I'm older. I'm 52. And I don't want to say I'm not as happy as I used to be. It's just that things have gotten really serious. But you know what? Everybody wants it. I want it. It's more fun. I plan to have some more fun. But I think I may just have a thing flashing saying satire, 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 satire. Because again, the media takes it out of context. What was on your mind? You want to talk about Pierce Morgan? I see that.
So I just want to show my appreciation for that classic that you brought up, and then also just, I guess, congratulate us as a nation for 250 years coming up.
Yep. I mean, we're not perfect, but we've been the best there is. Thank you, brother, for the call. And that's why they're trying to run it down. And the next few days, particularly on Saturday, I'm going to pay tribute to our republic and our forebears. All right, let's go to Adolfo in Florida. Adolfo, welcome to the airwaves.
Hey, thank you for having me. And I want to say, first of all, that to start with, your crew that does your marketing, your commercials, whatnot, they're the best. I love their, everything they've been doing for years. It's hilarious. It's great.
The crew is amazing. They are absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. And keep the good work going.
They even make little jokes, and, little inside jokes in the ads. Oh, Tru's in trouble again.
Right. Oh, I can only imagine that once he's one ad is created and you guys are reviewing it, you got to be cracking up. I mean, it's got to be a good time.
Well, a lot of these ads, too, not to over the crew, a lot of these ads are fan-made. Like Alex Jones fan, Wars the Info, countless others are just amazing.
Oh, wow. That's great. So a lot of people participate. That's awesome. Hey, I wanted to take this opportunity. I know it's off topic, but at least...
No, you have to understand. I said free-for-all, bro. There is no screening. You can talk about Keebler elves if you wanted to.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring to the attention to you and to your viewers. Hopefully somebody will pick up the research, especially somebody living in the local area in New York City. I wanted to bring the attention that most, I've never seen any article or anyone talk about that there are two banks of China in New York City. And not too long ago, they opened up the Bank of China of the Agricultural Bank of China. And, for those that don't understand how an agricultural bank works, to put it into perspective, our USDA banking does not require congressional approval on how they spend their money. This is how the Social Security and the New York Stock Exchange were created through the USDA. China has that version operating in New York. Why in the world?
I was aware of that. I forget the exact name. What's the exact name again? It's
the Agricultural Bank of China.
Guys, type in Agricultural Bank of China, New York. Yeah, and I know they're buying up land, and they're also giving loans out to U.S. farmers getting the land. Agricultural Bank of China to pay New York.
Without any congressional approval.
$250 million for anti-money laundering violations. Reuters, go ahead.
Yep. Without any, they're exempt from being audited because it's an agricultural bank. And this is not right, having this nefarious country.
Ah, you're coming up for Israel now. You're coming up for Israel. No, China, until Israel made its move the last year and a half, they were like junior to it. China literally has Confucius Institutes at all the major colleges. They control half the Democrats nationally, more than half locally. They got sex spies everywhere. They're funding all these NGOs. By the way, I meant to hit it yesterday. China just passed a law that no one in China, not the Mongolians, not the Tibetans, anybody, can call themselves Mongolians or Tibetans. They all have to say they're Chinese. It's a racial purity law. And so there's literally like Hitler. The most homogeneous group in the world is the Han Chinese. And so that's all going on. Meanwhile, they fund, in the past, the majority or the largest chunk of all the anti-white, NGO, woke garbage. The next group is Soros and the left, and then the Israel lobby. And so it's disgusting. I appreciate your call. All this anti-white crap, taking a knee at the Super Bowl, all this crap, folks, beating up the white basketball players, the women basketball players, that's all propaganda brought to you by China. And then, you know, an NBA player is apologizing to China and professional wrestlers apologizing to China. I mean, China is on our ass trying to take our sovereignty. Thank you. All right, let's go to Carlos in Canada. Carlos, you're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex.
Welcome.
Here I am. I'm going to tell you clearly what we discussed a long, long time ago about bankerism and the conclusion that bankerism is communism. What is called the decline of the American empire now, basically, is the end of fiat currency. And we are experiencing the devaluation of the dollar, the devaluation of money, because if we look at what we discussed a long time ago, bankerism is simply the opposite of capitalism, that instead of working your heartbeats and your efforts and labor to generate wealth, which then you turn into capital, and then that capital is yours, you have property values and derivatives.
Communism is about little people not amassing any wealth to be independent, and it's always run by oligarchs and offshore systems. Communism is not a failure. It's an incredible success of enslavement and murdering 200 million people. Everybody says it's dumb. It's failed. No, it's Mondami's not dumb. He's a vicious, horrible supervillain.
Well, in history, there is two dimensions. There is the communism of the, let's say, the bankers of New York in taking over the czarist regime in Russia. And then there's the socialism of the proletariat of the workers in Russia, which included a guy by the name of Joseph Dugasvili, who had a middle name, a nickname called Stalin, which was steel. And Stalin was a worker. And Stalin actually worked for the Rothschilds and burned down their operation in Baku, in the area of oil extraction, which was then Russia. So at this stage of the game, you have socialism developing underneath what was the Bolshevism. And Bolshevism, Stalin, destroyed. The last member of the group that came from the bankers in New York, Schiff and so on, to take over the czarist monarchy, basically, what he did was to kill them all. And the last
Yeah, that's right. Whenever people say Stalin was work for the Jews, yes, he did. And the Bolsheviks, the leadership was 90% Jewish. He then double-crossed them and took it over for himself. That's why he was a hero of the Russians, even though, in my view, he's a mass murdering criminal. But these idiots who don't know history claim Stalin will work for the Jews. No, he didn't. Not once he killed Lenin and killed Trotsky. He purged their ass.
Exactly. And
in fact, he loved Hitler and admired him and was very upset when Hitler double-crossed him.
Just before he was actually assassinated, he had a heart attack at the end and is doubtful that he wasn't killed. But just before he was ended, Stalin was preparing to take all the bankers, all the Jewish guys that were left in Russia, and he was going to send them into Siberia.
That's right. He was going to create a state of Israel in Siberia.
Yeah. So exactly. At the end of Russia.
Oh, that's all mainline history. Just people aren't taught it.
Right.
But I see these idiot Nazis. Stalin was the work for the Jews. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
What we didn't understand was that China, which became communist, and he was in fact aided by the very Bolsheviks, the very people that did Bolshevism in Russia, started communism in China. I hope you realize that. They were Jewish bankers.
Yes, it's all true. I got to jump, brother. I'm sorry. We're almost out of time. Call back again. Stalin wrote about all this. He talked about it. He poisoned Lenin. He got poisoned, heart attack. And it's all in the mainline Alexander Solzhenitsyn books. It's all there. It's all historical fact. Stalin got control, number 2 under Lenin, and then as soon as he got rid of Lenin, he got rid of all the other Jewish leadership. He was going to make all the Jews move to one area in Siberia, and that's all on record. And he was a fanboy of Hitler. He would tell him, this is his letters, to the NKVD and to the KGB, like, you're idiots. You don't know how to organize and kill people properly like Hitler. You need to follow what the Nazis do. I ought to just make a deal with him. Just absolute fanboy, of Adolf Hitler. But see, the average moron doesn't know that. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Tanner in Canada. Tanner, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, my name's Tanner, first-time caller from Alberta, Canada.
Welcome.
And I just want to talk a little bit about Mark Carney. In the last 5 months, he convinced 5 conservatives to cross the floor and become liberals. And then he won 2 by-elections, and now he has a majority government. And we're falling under totalitarianism. I'll just read a couple of these bills. Bill C-2, surveillance, border.
They're banning the Bible. They're banning speech, years in prison, yeah. Forced extermination under the name of euthanasia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 1984 on PCP.
Mandatory data retention, lawful access capabilities. Like, cops will be able to go and grab whatever they want from your phones whenever they need it.
They can put you in jail for pre-crime because they think you'll commit a crime.
Yeah. You can call and complain that you think...
Yeah, list the numbers. It's C5, C8, it's a whole bunch of C bills.
C-22, C-8, C-9, C-11, C-34, and C-63. The C-63,
yeah.
Vague hate definitions, enabling throat policing, yada, yada, yada. So there's all that. And meanwhile, Carney won't get his head out of his ass and come down there and make a deal with Trump. He's running around the world, big staging himself, saying, oh, a new world order, oh, we've got a rupture and all this bullshit. Meanwhile, you guys are our biggest trading partner, and we're gonna get whacked and this, that, and the other thing, and we're going to be in real bad shape. Meanwhile, Carney's all elbows up against America. Well, guess what? 91% of his assets are in America. All his kids go to university.
Well, Carney says he's not even British. He's a European. He's not even Canadian. He's a former head of the British Bank. The man is an absolute monster. But Trump screwed up being, 51st state and running down Canada. That helped get him elected. That was a real mistake Trump made.
Real mistake, because that really pushed Pierre out of there. And the thing is in Canada, that's why Alberta is so serious about separatism, because by the time I'm done voting in Alberta, the polls have already been closed in the east, and Carney's already elected before my vote's even counted. We don't get as many seats. We don't get as much representation, and we should.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Great points. I'm not cutting you off. I don't be able to get to Seth and Chris and others. Thank you for the call, Tanner. All right, Matt Bracken's coming on. He wants to take calls, too. Geopolitical expert, what's happening on the Strait? 123 days in Iran, Ukraine, Russia getting ready to hit NATO sites outside Ukraine. They're saying massive escalation. I don't know a geopolitical expert that's smarter than Matt Bracken, but he also wants to take your calls. So you'll talk to him, Seth, and Chris, and get your preparedness and World War III comments out. I've got to go work on the network, the new studios, a bunch of stuff that I got a beaver can get done. I will not be sitting around in this fourth hour. But I wanted to bring Matt Bracken in right now before he takes the reins. Matt, just in general, give me your prognosis on Trump. Is he really breaking with Israel, or is that just rhetorical? The NDAA for Israel to take over our military and intelligence, merge with it, a new marriage, as they call it, has progressed without even a vote into the full House and Senate. Where do you see all that going? What do you make of these Supreme Court rulings? Just the general state of the Republic 250 years in, are we on our deathbed, or is there a way to navigate out of this? And how do we put pressure on Trump to try to get him back in the fold, or is that an impossible task? People say, oh, well, I'm still trying to engage Trump, just give up. I don't think we can do that, and I think we have moved the needle back some, or is that just kabuki theater? What does Matt Bracken think?
Well, I think that at 250 years, most empires have pretty much reached their expiration date. And it's, maybe you can look at it in cycle theory. You know, this is.
Well, I agree. Hold on, Matt. You're quite a historian, too. I don't think any empire has lasted more than 250.
Right. And there are some differences because of technology, but technology, I think, can provide a lot of leverage to, greatly increase the population, standard of living. But when things go south, leverage works the other way.
Exactly. It can also accelerate collapse.
Sure. Because, for example, we've never had a situation where most of the population of the world was fed from, agribusinesses, and the food is grown thousands of miles from where you live. That never happened before. We've had collapses even when the food was grown within 10 miles of where people lived.
Yeah, let's quantify that. In the Great Depression, they estimate 7 to 12 million people starved to death in the United States alone, university studies from malnutrition. We were 90% rural, 10% urban, about half the rural were self-sufficient then, meaning around 45% were self-sufficient. Still 7 to 12 million people starved to death, even worse in Europe. If we had anything close to that collapse today, most Pentagon estimates are that we would have upwards of half, or if the power went out, 90% death within 1 year. Can you give us your analysis of that?
And the high percentage of people that lived in rural settings or on farms during the Great Depression, that also provided a safety valve for a lot of the city, because a lot of city people moved back with their country relatives temporarily. People that had left the farm for the city, they went back to the farm. That doesn't exist anymore. Nobody can move to a, 10,000 acre agribusiness and pick a patch of GMO soybeans to live on. So
well, that's another example. Something like 60% of our food is grown with Roundup. Trump said we're going to phase out of it, but he claimed he had to give them liability protection or it would bring down the entire food supply because we haven't segued out. That's what RFK Jr. said. I'm not saying I totally buy that argument, but at a certain level, it's true just to show how dependent we are on this anti-human, poisonous alien system.
Yeah, and it all really comes down to the supply chains because that's the there are many weak links in all these chains. But you know, if we can't get the diesel for the trucks and the trains, they also run on diesel. Then everything can fall apart extremely fast.
Let's quantify that. If half the public, at least, and 90% was rural, but if half or 45% of the public was totally self-sufficient, they had ducks, they had chickens, they had pigs, they had cows, they had a truck farm. They could be self-sufficient, but then all these homeless came through. Hey, can I chop wood for some food? Can I live with you? Grapes of Wrath is, you know, it's a communist movie, but very accurate what it was like. People in the Dust Bowl, Oklahoma. Imagine that, what, 10 times worse. We're talking about World War Z level hysteria and breakdown, which the Great Reset was pushing, and they thought they could have a controlled austerity and collapse. Elon Musk was right to tell them, you'll never control this. Smarter elites, from a thing of survival, said we need to stabilize things, not get off fossil fuels, and we need to not have this great global collapse. The question is, have they already initiated it where it's too late, Matt Bracken?
I think it may be too late. There are too many nodes that can fail at this point. The fact that Trump signed the MOU back on June 17th, and he even said the one president he didn't want to be was Herbert Hoover, meaning to be blamed for the Great Depression. You know, not necessarily that Hoover was the sole cause of the Depression.
Why did Trump then make the move that his advisors told him would close the strait, they wouldn't fall, and would kill his recovery? Why'd he do it?
I think that he's being pulled in all kind of directions. You know, I don't know. Some people say the last person in the room with him, that's like his next Truth Social person.
100%.
You know, the fact that he has Vance out front is a strong sign, because Vance is the face of detaching from Israel, and Rubio has been in the background. I mean, why isn't the Secretary of State involved in this? I mean, give me a break.
Now, that tells you that the sidelining of Israel is at least a real attempt, and we see the Israel lobby calling him a backstabber and a traitor. So you believe Trump is realizing he was advised bad by Netanyahu and is trying to break away? That's great if that's true.
But he's being whipsawed. He's, you know, that for a few days, the fact that he signed the memorandum of understanding is absolutely a surrender. No matter how they try to pose it on Fox News, you know, the fact that we, you know, if you just read it, the point number one mentions Lebanon three times, and Iran's been crystal clear. We're not getting to the later points like nuclear. Let's look at nuclear until like the first five are like absolutely done to our satisfaction. And point number five, which is the really critical one about administering and controlling the Strait of Hormuz, that is an absolute giving the Strait of Hormuz to Iran.
Matt, you're going to be hosting the fourth hour, so I'm going to table this now. I just wanted to get right to the end game here with you. Set the table. You've got a lot coming up. What are you covering next hour?
I'm going to cover the Iran situation, which is really directly tied to the global Great Depression that we're facing, which in this time will lead to famines in a lot of the world, and these famines will lead to such social breakdown and population dislocation that, you know, it'll be like a tidal wave going around the world.
Starting with Africa, and so by next year, new massive migrant floods to Europe.
Yeah, and we can see already things as parochial as who won the last election, even if it was a fake election or not. The government of Spain is just allowing a mass invasion of Spain right now. So you can have a Trump that closes the Mexican border, but then you have the leader of Spain allowing just thousands in per day.
And then Spain and giving France them all citizenship. Load the illegals on boats to invade England. Look at that. In Ireland, Spain's mass illegal migrant amnesty, 1.3 million. They said more come now. 90% never get jobs, rape, murder, kill. It's all coming out with Matt Bracken. Europe can't even power its Mercedes-Benz facilities. They're cutting off all the power, committing political suicide. Why are they doing it? How do the elites think they're going to manage this dystopic system they're building? It is the most insane garbage ever. Matt Bracken of EnemiesForeignAndDomestic.com, best-selling offer. Former Navy SEAL, smart man, takes over now in the fourth hour. Share the live feeds at Relox Jones and rumble.com/Delta Show Live. And now we have the colostrum gummies in great flavor.
In the forbidden mountains of ancient China, Alex Jones, the warrior, returns to complete his training. His fists thunder against globalist lies. Each board he shatters destroys another New World Order deception. Forged in the fire of truth, he trains day and night. Iron palm strikes smashing through Big Pharma's walls. He prepares for the ultimate demon Fentanyl the Dragon.
Oh, hello, Alex. It is I, Fentanyl the Dragon, your arch nemesis.
Fentanyl, you dare to return and face me?
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
America's worth saving. I seen this country build towns where there was nothing but dust and empty sky. Men worked sun up to sundown, built roads, railways, farms, and cities with their bare hands. People came here with nothing in their pockets and somehow carved out a life worth living. That's what made this place different. Not power, not money, freedom. And as long as there's still a few hard-headed Americans standing tall, America's story ain't over yet.
You can feel the noose tightening all across America. Fight the enemy before they hang freedom itself.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
It's Matt taking over for Alex, who's busy out in the real world. I'm going to stick with the calls that were already lined up because, you know, in the past, I had been a caller many times to radio talk shows and other programs. And I can remember waiting on the phone for 45 minutes, an hour, and then just being dumped. So I'm not going to do that to starting with Seth in Arkansas. If you can put Seth on, I mean, I'll probably steer it around to what the topics of the day are, but I'd like to hear what some randos from the audience want to talk about also. So go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, let me preface what I'm about to say with the fact that I love this country and I love the philosophy of liberties more than anything. But when I see everything that's happening in Iran and in Ukraine, And I see, you know, the right hating Iran and the left, the left hates Russia and, you know, they're trying to whip the citizenry into war fervor. And I'm a Christian man and I almost feel obligated to pray for and cheer for the success of those two countries to stop this Epstein Empire Luciferian chaos that they're trying to implement and bring about World War III. Am I wrong for that?
Yeah, you know, I've many people in the past have noted this, that Americans are maybe the most brainwashed population in the world. And what's really worked very well is for Americans to think, well, hey, you know, we have 10 different news stations, so it can't possibly be all propaganda. But every time I hear people saying, for example, We've been at war with Iran for 47 years, or Iran is the leading global sponsor of terrorism. You know that this is like somebody in North Korea parroting back, you know, lines about America. And this, and as far as Russia goes, our lefties loved the communist Soviet Union. They had no problem with Russia when it was an atheistic communist country. And now that it's not, and it's actually swung far back to the to Orthodox Christianity, then now they really hate Russia, or they hate Russia again. The British have always had it in for Russia, going back 200 years at least. The Crimean War was about Russia. World War II, World War I, they were our allies, but the British were always working against the Russians. Obviously, I'm not on the side of the communists during the Gulag period or anything like that, but Russia came out of 75 years of communism and went back to Christianity. They don't have, homosexual training in their schools. They don't allow it. This is why the left hates Russia now. Yeah, this is why the left hates Russia. So,
I was going to ask, why does it seem that Iran and Russia are being so reserved as to not get into a wider war with NATO in Ukraine, or as to not get into a wider war with Israel in Iran in the Middle East? It seems like both of those like they're behaving.
Well, Iran is winning. I mean, Iran is clearly winning. They've driven the Navy out of the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. So they've got the upper hand there. And they know that this isn't a war like Vietnam, where we can just basically bleed ourselves for a decade, because we're also bleeding the global economy, and Trump will be blamed for it. So we don't have an infinite time period, whereas Iran is 100% fuel and energy self-sufficient. It's now 100% water self-sufficient, and it's like 90% food self-sufficient. So you're not going to siege warfare Iran, whereas our own allies are going to be, hurt even worse than America before us. Okay, we're going to the break, and I'll take calls from Joe and Chris and Jeremy and Emmett, if you just hang on.
I put me spinach aside, and I've been using Ultimate Power on the AlexJonesStore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, next, we've got Joe in Oregon, if you're still holding there.
Yeah, Matt, I'm still here. Hey, thank you for taking my call. And starting out with the usual plug, I've been buying Alex's products since his very first one, the first iodine one that came out just as Fukushima blew off. So a lot of gratitude for Alex for bringing the notion of supplements into my life, because it's made a real big deal for me, and I appreciate him for bringing that into really into more popular use.
Yeah, we're considering the uphill battle we have, consuming pollution, consuming all kind of rays and frequencies, and then also just consuming the garbage that's in so much of our food. You know, you can't you can't do enough to protect yourself with the good stuff to try to counter all the bad stuff we're flooded with.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of you audience people that are just catching a free ride, it's really, you know what, come up with $40 and plank it down and get something. Just do it. Anyhow, so I guess so it was an open caller thing. So I thought I would call in and share my experiences most recently. I would say myself I'm 50% redneck and 50% tree hugger. And I live in a very famous West Coast location that has been in the news lately. That's all I'll say. And so I when I came out for Trump, I lost every one of my liberal friends, and I was kind of big in the anarchist side of the anti-war leading up to that debacle. And so
you mean the Iran war debacle? You mean or
yeah, no, the one the debacle before that, the Iraq war debacle. Okay. And of course, I'm against that. I'm against anti-war debacle. Iran war debacle as well. But anyhow, so wherever I go, I'm kind of an outcast because I'm 50% redneck and I'm 50% liberal or tree hugger. And so I wanted to share an experience I had going to kind of one of those DEI meetings, you know, where they come in, they talk about racism and systematic racism, et cetera, et cetera.
What was the context of that? Is that work or a town thing or...
Well, so and the context is what's really cool is because it's out of a volunteer opportunity, and so I'm a volunteer here in town, and they offered that 2-day course that was held at the big building in downtown wherever I live, and you had to go through 3 levels of security to get to it, and it was a really nice boardroom and. It was just.
I bet you had to show ID and prove who you were.
No, I didn't.
Unlike, did you know, security, but no ID check.
Well, it's because the guy that set it up knew me by, you know, because he had interviewed me for this particular, and so he knew who I was, so he met us at the door, and he had the badges that got through the 3 levels of security.
I see.
So anyhow. And it turned out to be the usual, you know, anti-white BS. But since there was no human resources involved and my paycheck wasn't on one, I was able to speak a little bit more freely. And but I just like to kind of count what I did, and hopefully people will get a good laugh out of it, but also know that you can talk to the people you disagree with, and in the end it actually had a pretty good ending. But so basically the first half of the first day is how they built their definition of racism. It started out with bias and then opinion and something else, and then they had the card where they had the systemic, and then they had racism, right? And so they say that racism starts with a bias, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And one of the definitions for bias was only seeing the bad things of your opponent and refusing to acknowledge the good. And that was a bias. And so we go on, and they get into, well, this thing called whiteness. And at that point, I just politely raised my hands and I just stepped out. I just said, well, you know, the thing is that, you know, white people do a lot of good. And I listed a few, like the people that went out and died to free the slaves, you know, all those
sure.
Christian white people. You know, and then the freedom riders, we can talk about the all those white people that died for to help out the black people.
Yeah, civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then I pointed out that the majority, in fact, all except for one of the actual people that were volunteers, you know, you have the staff, the paid staff. But I pointed out that of all the actual volunteers in the room, it was like 98% white. So anyhow, that kind of caused the kerfuffle. And she says, well, you know, we're just going to have to move on and, you know, we'll have to, you know, let that be. And so it goes on and they start talking about the next thing. It's like, racism, what can you do about racism? And they said, and the first thing is if you hear something, you know, say something. And then they said it's like the most powerful stopper of racism is when a similar colored person chastises that other person. And then, then I raised my hand and I asked, so what do you do if it's like different races dropping, you know, the racism? For example, what is it if you hear a yellow woman dropping the N-bomb or a red dude dropping the N-bomb four times in one sentence? And the whole room exploded all at once. And they,
you mean a red dude like you out west, you mean Native American Indians?
Yeah, yeah. And so they said, right. Well, those words are insulting. Those colors are insulting. So I can say black. And I said, yeah. And I said, so what about whiteness? You know, let's talk about, you know, your insulting whiteness thing. And I said, yeah, you know, and genuinely, I was insulted. I was, what's the word that they use all the time? I was offended. And yeah. It was in my voice. And to her credit, yeah, the lady running it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you said you're half redneck and half tree hugger. Well, I'm kind of a tree hugger myself. I love trees. You know, I don't, I'm not for clear cutting, you know, entire counties and letting the dirt flow away. I'm not for clear cutting and building data centers and, you know, and, feedlots. But, you know, so I think that we have a lot in common, and the fact that you would be comfortable enough to go there and maybe push back and change some minds a little bit, it shows that, you know, you are right, standing right over the fault line and, you know, trying to make a difference. So that's definitely good. And I think that maybe Tucker and some others have shown this, but we have a lot more in common with each other in the sense that, you know, we do love America. We don't like what's happening in a lot of ways. We don't want the wars. That doesn't mean we're for like giant corporations just stripping the land and planting crap GMOs everywhere. So yeah, I mean, I think that there's a new populist coalition forming, and you know, it's good to have you on team Alex Jones, because this is the cutting edge. But look, we got a couple more calls to go. So thanks for calling in, Joe in Oregon. Not sure where, but it sounds like it's probably an awesome place if you can survive all the liberal wokedom. So we got next Chris in California. If Chris is still hanging on.
Yeah, I'm here, Matt. Enjoy your show. I think you're a well-informed truth teller. I've been listening to Alex for probably 3 decades, and I kind of view the whole team as my personal consultant. So just mirroring what the other caller just said, I'm looking at my shelf in the bathroom.
You still there? Did we lose you? Did we lose Chris? That's a shame. I think Chris was looking at his shelf in the bathroom, and it's probably full of stuff from the Alex Jones store. It's good supplements. Sorry about that, Chris, after a long wait. We got Jeremy in Connecticut, and maybe we'll get Chris back, but if Jeremy in Connecticut is up, we'll go there.
Hey, Mike. Happy
250th.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Yeah. No,
I've been
it's okay.
For a long time. Matt, M-A-T-T, happy 250th.
Right. Yeah, we're at least we're going to make it to 250. At least we make it to 250.
It's getting sketchy, but...
Right.
So I've my initial thing was something that Al was talking about like a bunch of segments ago about our friends over there in the Levant. And he was saying how, like, people are hating on them because of the stuff they're doing. And from what I understand, like, they kind of are the masters of the victim role, and they kind of want that to hasten the return of the Moshiach.
Yeah, it's definitely like pretty deep.
It's like
there's, it's a
like,
lot.
They say it. They've written it.
It's pretty deep. I mean, there's a lot of elements of PSYOP. And when Alex was talking about, that playing the victim status and then going to the dark side and saying, you know, because, I mean, I'm not a Kabbalah expert like Alex. I haven't read it. But when you start saying we're going to sanction doing dirty deeds on our side, You're flirting with Satan, saying, you know, because God loves us the most, we're allowed to do the dirty tricks, you know, exploding pagers that maybe a kid is going to open instead of dad, or, you know, just a policy of assassinations, which is rubbing off on us now, because, you know, that's how we started the February 28th war, was with sneak attacks during negotiations. You know, see you Monday, and then boom, blow up your whole building on Saturday. Yeah, including your family and neighbors. That is definitely something from, our greatest ally that they say. And I don't like that. I consider that totally un-American. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, the kid thing is like, and that's what I'm kind of saying is like, and it actually makes me think about like, the whole Sabbatai Zevi movement, like redemption through sin. Like they want,
yeah,
to, it's like the victim status. And I'm not going to elaborate on
that. They have to turn the whole world against them to allow. Yeah. It's their version of an end times Armageddon.
It's like they're running the same game.
When you say they, it's
then, right.
When you say they, I mean, it's not all Israelis or Jews or you know, people that live in that country or around the world.
I have family there.
I think partly it's because and some just like ordinary, mundane political things can have such big knock-on effects. The fact that Bibi Netanyahu could be facing prison is as a reason for continuing a war. Just imagine, you know, you're dropping, you know, like the other day, the mother of all bombs on Lebanon, and all of these wars, he has to keep a war going to stay out of jail. I mean, is that not a totally perverse incentive? You know, but he had to form a coalition with the Likud, and the most extreme right wingers, which means to keep them in the coalition. To keep himself in power and to keep himself out of jail, he has to toss bones to those extreme radicals, you know, the end times Israelis, the coming of the Messiah Israelis. And I'm beyond pissed. And what it doesn't do any good to be pissed, but when you see people like Huckabee as the ambassador and he's on board with all of this, you know, or even Hegseth, you know, these Third Temple lunatics. Our foreign policy is partly being determined by, you know, lunatics who want to bring about Armageddon. That's a sobering thought. What else do you want to say there?
So I agree with you again. I think that him doing that is kind of like a political tactic that these guys use. And it's multiple agendas that they try to meet. And if they can't meet them all, then they've met a bunch of other ones. You know, like as a macro perspective, like connecting dots, the big picture. But there's the ancient picture there I was talking about. And, yeah, like he's totally trying to stay out of jail or whatever. Like these guys do that politically. So that's fitting with something else, like because you were talking about something, the whole Russia thing, right? Which kind of seemed ball of wax, but – I'm 46, and I grew up like hate Russia type of deal because of the Cold War.
Right.
And like, just there's a lot of aspects of it. Like, I play hockey, you know. Like, fast forward to now, like, they're still like, they won't let them in international tournaments and stuff. Like, dude, those guys didn't do nothing, you know. And it's like, subliminally taught to not like them, but it actually drew attention from me because I do hobby research and I've read books about, you know, Anthony Sutton's books and books about Stalin and Stalingrad and like World War II books and stuff. And like, I'm like, dude, what is up with it? Like, so anyways, that's just was my point, is like the subliminal conditioning of me as a 46-year-old through the times. And then I think we should be allies with them if that could happen. I wish everybody could be cool. I wish everybody could
get along.
I don't know, since the Garden of Eden, I guess we can't.
Like Rodney King said, why can't we all get along? You know, it's funny because so much of what we believe is purely propaganda and narrative driven. We were the enemy of the Russians for 75 years during the communist era of the Cold War. And we still are, even though they threw off communism and they've become much more religious than Western Europe or America in terms of belief in Orthodox Christianity. But when you look at other situations, during World War II, we had really incredibly harsh propaganda against Germans and the Japanese. You know, the Japanese were portrayed as like nearsighted monkeys, slanty eyes with little glasses, practically subhuman as you can get. And we actually, you know, fought a bloody war, virtually war of annihilation on the Pacific Islands, dropped atom bombs on their cities. 5 years later, they're our allies when we're fighting Korea. And if you look at Hollywood, all the movies are, what a great time the GIs are having in Japan. The Japanese love us. Oh, the Japanese are great. It's like, wait a minute. 7 years ago, they were like these little yellow monkeys that were subhuman. Now they're our fun-loving geisha girl, sake-drinking buddies, learning baseball and loving Elvis Presley. Same thing with the Germans. The propaganda can just turn on a dime. So whenever I hear people say, oh, Iran's been our mortal enemy for 47 years, and they're the leading exporter of terrorism, it's like, that's not factually true. If anything, they were in Syria trying to fight ISIS. We were supporting ISIS. Israel and the USA were supporting ISIS. The guy Jolani, he's changed his name, but he'll always be Jolani, is, you know, chief number one head chopper. And he's our head chopper. He's visited Trump in the White House. And people just gloss over it like, oh, well, that's fine. That was then. This is now. But Iran is our eternal enemy. That's just a narrative, a psyop. Anyway, yeah, I wish that we would get over a lot of this and people would look deeper into these things. I think we got one more caller. If Emmett is still holding on, Emmett, you can have the end of the segment. You still there, Emmett?
Yeah, hey, Matt. Oh, I'm a little bit disappointed I didn't get to talk to Alex about this one, but I imagine you're a bit of a prepper like myself and might even be an owner, a proud owner of the Alexa Pure water filter that he promoted for many, many years. And, you know, every day I go through that. We call it the water ritual, and, you know, it's just become a part of our life now. But I have a little bit of constructive criticism for this new filter. I imagine you probably bought your water filter. You bought the filter holder, the stainless steel case, one time, right? Maybe twice. You might have two of them in your house. But why do salesmen sell water filters? To sell the filter inserts. And I know Alex has been saying that, you know, this first batch was like 2,000 units, and then maybe the next batch will be 5,000 units. But whoever's going to go about the business of selling water filters probably ought to make it possible to purchase just the filter inserts so that preppers like you and myself can purchase several units of them And have them on the back shelf for when the grid goes down and we can't rely on the mail to get us our next year's filtered inserts. And anyway, it's just kind of ridiculous that I can't find filter inserts to purchase for this beautiful, wonderful, amazing new water filter that I'm looking forward to making a part of my daily routine. So it's not really criticism for Alex, but Bigley, what are you doing, guys? That's all.
Yeah, just in terms of preppardom, and you can find a lot of stuff online. You can create, I mean, if it's like a grid down type of a situation, supply chains are gone, it's possible to make a very good filter with charcoal that you create, white sand that you dig up, pebbles, other things. One of the things that'd be harder to make would be the actual paper filters, like coffee filters you could buy in bulk now, even paper towels. But the fact that you can't, if in a dire situation, you couldn't get, the factory made filter inserts, there are ways to work around that other than just, drinking ditch water or whatever goo comes out of the pipes when the water system is only working intermittently. All right. On the other side of this break, I'm going to give my own opinion about what's happening with the Iran war, which is really one of the theaters of the world war that we're on, and why it's happening, the greater ramifications of Europe trying to bait Russia into a kinetic world war, what it all means and where it's going. So see you on the other side.
But first, listen to me very carefully. I've got all these studies and articles out. Breastfeeding protects babies against ADHD, autism, low IQs. The brain's up to one-third smaller if they never get mother's milk. Breastfeeding protects baby against risk of ADHD in another major study. New study strongly links Merck's Gardasil HPV vaccine to all sorts of neurological disorders. Why is corn syrup in so many American infant formulas? Some of them are up to 70%. So deadly, so bad. Plus synthetic vitamins and minerals, which are actually toxic. Adverse effects of infant formula made with corn syrup, solids on the development of eating behaviors in Hispanic children, definitely linked to the obesity and diabetes and all the rest of it. Corn syrup and formula, absolutely not safe. Well, what's the opposite of corn syrup and fake milk? It's colostrum. Notice hospitals tell people, give your baby milk the first few weeks, fake milk. Don't worry about breastfeeding. And then the mother's milk never comes in. So then about half the mothers never have their milk come in. So they go right on the formula formula, high-tech sounding name. Trust the science. And all the studies are the brains are much smaller, lower IQs, all these serious problems. Because your brain's made out of fat mainly, and you need the mother's fat to do that. But the colostrum has all the mother's immunity, natural vaccine, all these peptides, all these super nutrients. Well, I already have colostrum. I take some of it. My mom's really into it. One day I came over to her house and I gave her two canisters of it and told her, tell me what you think of this. But I forget about it. It's my dad's birthday last year. We're at an Italian restaurant and she starts saying, and she never wants to be on air. She said, I'll go on air for this. She goes, look at my hair. He goes, it's gray. He has a lot of it, but it's gray. She goes, look, it's coming back in blonde. Look at this. Look at this. She goes, and look at David. He was totally bald. He's been on a few months. It's literally hairs coming in. And if you look it where it was already, it's coming in brown and it's gray here. This is insane. This is way better. I want more of that. I want more of that. I said, okay, I'll get it for you. You can buy it at alexjonesstore.com.
And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So you need to get it. It's buy one, get one free. Until tomorrow night, because I really didn't plug it. The sale launched Friday. Bovine colostrum, buy one, get one free right now. Never seen my mom on air before. She said, no, I'll do it. So I said, well, you say that on camera. So she repeated some of it on camera. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker. how good this is. And she's been on Colostrum forever. She was a master swimmer and, you know, triathlete, and she's in super good shape at 76. But the point is that she swears by it, and she looked healthy before, but she looks even younger now, and she gobbles it. She takes way more than the one scoop a day. We got it. You owe it to yourself. It's not just good for your hair and skin and all the rest of it. Imagine what it's doing internally. This is the superfood of superfood from the mama mammal to the baby. This is the Uber milk. Bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexshowstore.com, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Okay, welcome back. I don't know if you're sick of hearing about Iran, but it's actually, you know, the one of the major fault lines in the world right now that could be driving the entire world into a Great Depression. And if this happens, it's not just going to stop with, you know, a little bit higher gas prices in the U.S. or a little bit more expensive food. I think there will be severe social consequences all around the world. This is going to drive massive refugee flows. And as we've seen with many countries, they're never going to stop the refugee flow. Spain, for the foreseeable future, will just be an open door into Europe. You know, as many from Africa that can get into Spain are being herded straight across to get onto boats to come to the UK, to come to Ireland. For the time being, our southern border seems secure, but that can be gone the minute that Trump is gone. And it'll be another 10 or 20 million coming over in the first year. And now they're all going to be made citizens. So we are not out of the fire just because Trump has closed the southern border. That's really just a temporary band-aid in the overall picture. Now, we are going to face this economic crisis because what happened on February 28th wasn't just the beginning of a war and taken under very disgraceful and dishonorable terms, in that there were negotiations going on where we told people, meeting them in Oman, we'll see you in Geneva on Monday, and then we bombed them on Saturday using Palantir AI programs just to make the best guess that the AI could make. When would the most Iranian leaders be home? At what time should all the missiles hit simultaneously? That means one apartment might have a 70% chance he's there, one 90%. But the program said, 10:30 in the morning, that'll probably catch most of them. Doesn't matter who else is in the house, if the neighbor's house gets blown up, if the girls' school got blown up or the volleyball team got blown up. This is, for as an American, this is very disgraceful. This is for me, everything following is the fruit of the poison tree. You know, if we grew up thinking that the Japanese deserved Hiroshima because they started it at Pearl Harbor. At Pearl Harbor, they didn't also blow up a school, you know, with 180 girls in it that were the daughters of naval officers at Pearl Harbor. And, you know, so for me, nothing good will ever come out of this. But just in terms of the economics, it was a doomed project from the get-go. I'm continuing to be convinced that that Netanyahu, you know, basically psyoped Trump into doing this, saying, I'm going to do it anyway, then your bases will be hit, knowing that America will come in, knowing that we can't win. It's going to hurt America in the end, but that doesn't matter to Netanyahu and his clique. They don't care if America is hurt in the end. They don't care if the world is driven into a Great Depression. Their goal is to wreck Iran, to turn a nation of 92 million people into a failed state like Libya or Syria or Lebanon. And obviously this hasn't happened. Now the oil stopped flowing, and as a result, we're seeing Trump panicking a little bit. 2 weeks ago, he signed the Memorandum of Understanding. At that time, he said he didn't want to become the next Herbert Hoover, that is, to be blamed for causing a depression. And Vance today and yesterday has been saying, well, we just want to get some oil flowing so we can restock. They're actually panicking because they're getting to the tank bottoms in a lot of countries. We're getting to the bottom of the salt caverns where the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is kept. And if it goes on for much longer, we won't be able to fake it. And, Jesse Kelly, I think it was, he had a good analogy. He said, this is like you have a power outage and you're running your backup generator to keep the lights on in the house. So everything seems totally normal. The house has still got lights, air conditioning, television is working, but you're running out of cans in the garage to pour into that generator. That's what we've been doing, depleting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is mostly going to the rest of the world to keep the price down. But it's a hell of a bet. It's a hell of a bet, you know, where we're painting ourselves into a corner. And I think that the Iranians understand this much better than most Americans, and they are willing to just drag this out in the sense that if we attack them again, it'll actually hurt us worse than them. They don't need the Strait of Hormuz open as much as the West needs it open. You know, Iran obviously doesn't need energy. The whole country has a natural gas pipe. I think like more than 90% of Iranian homes have natural gas, electricity. They're water self-sufficient. They're almost food self-sufficient. They're a continental power, so they can trade with Pakistan via the Caspian. They can trade with Russia and China. We're not going to starve them out. It's an ancient civilization. It'll probably be here long after our empire collapses. But on the other hand, our European allies and our Asian allies are in a very tough spot. The fact that on the best days recently since the MOU, maybe 30 or 40 ships have gotten out compared to the 130 before, it doesn't fix the problem. It's like if you were trapped in a car underwater, maybe you found another little air pocket. You know, you're not going to drown this minute. You found another air pocket up in another corner, but it doesn't fix the problem. And we're going to eventually be forced to accommodate the Iranians. You know, that the memorandum of understanding that Trump signed, it says in point number one, if you can put that up on the screen, it's the point number one memorandum. Three places in there, it talks about Lebanon. And the Iranians have been explicit over and over saying, we're not going to point 15 until the first points are nailed down to our satisfaction. This isn't a negotiation. You know, we sent Witkoff and Kushner to Qatar, and they're just not meeting anybody because the Iranians have said, this isn't a negotiation. You have to abide by the first five, or we don't even go to the next five. Number one is stop in Lebanon. Stop. Cease fire. And the more critical one, even than that, is number five. If that's also up there, that's on number four on the slides. Trump said, you know, I don't want to be the next Herbert Hoover. He signed the Memorandum of Understanding. He understands where this is going. But he signed this. It says the Islamic Republic of Iran will make the arrangements, period. Them, not us, not in negotiation. They mentioned that we'll have dialogue with Oman, which has the southern part of the Strait of Hormuz. Dialogue. We're in charge, but we'll listen to you. And we'll also consult with the other Gulf states. But we're in charge. Nowhere in there does it say that the U.S. Navy or the U.S. government has any part of the Strait of Hormuz. So if you just watch Fox News, God help you. But if you're following American media, it's being portrayed that Iran, just out of the blue, they said they were going to open the Strait of Hormuz, and now they're attacking ships. No, what Trump signed said, we're in charge of the Strait of Hormuz. And if you try to send ships through the South Channel without our permission, then we're going to hit them. And you say, Matt, well, that's why are you taking Iran's side? I'm not. I'm just saying this is the physical reality. If we could change it, we would have done it in the first 40 days of the kinetic phase of the war, or the first 100 days of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Then our Navy can't even get near it. Our Navy can't even get near it. If you can throw up slide number 2, that shows the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Navy used to be headquartered in there in the middle of the Persian Gulf in Bahrain at 5th Fleet headquarters there. We're gone. Right before our sneak attack on February 28th, the last Navy ships snuck out of the Persian Gulf. They've been there since before World War II in the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Navy's had a presence, a big presence, you know, from the 50s onward, you know, with Aramco in Saudi Arabia and so forth. The U.S. Navy is gone from there. Why is it gone from there? Because our ships would not be safe anywhere near Iran. So anybody that says, Matt, it's against international law, they're not allowed to do it, that's fine. Have a debate at your college. You know, go to take it to the UN. Stand on the street corner with a sandwich board. Doesn't matter. If you can't open the Strait of Hormuz with your Navy, then you don't control it. Trump signed the document that basically says Iran controls it. He signed it. And it's not a negotiation. They are saying, if you don't abide by it, like trying to send ships through without our permission, we'll hit them. And what are you going to do about it? Hit us again? What good is that going to do? I still, in comments on X and even on Fox News all the time with people like Kane and Kellogg and Jim Hansen, and the comments on X are just full of this. If you can put up slide number 1, the one that shows the black map of Iran. They say, finish the job. Finish the job. For 40 days, we threw like half of all of our Tomahawk missiles and JASSM missiles at them because we can't fly over Iran, right? We can only fly near Iran and launch standoff missiles at like, a million or a couple million a pop for one warhead. And we didn't stop them from closing the Strait of Hormuz. When people say finish the job, what does that mean? Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. It has 6 times its population. You know, in the 60s, we landed in Vietnam in basically around 65 when the actual Marines went ashore. Within 3 years, we had built up to over 500,000 troops in Vietnam. Remember, it's 1/10 the size of Iran, 1/10. We controlled all the ports. We had complete air supremacy. You know, maybe a helicopter might get shot down by a machine gun, but none of our jets could be shot down by the South Vietnam, the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese in South Vietnam. They had some SAM missiles around Hanoi when we were doing B-52 raids on the North Vietnam, but essentially we controlled all of South Vietnam. We had 5,000 aircraft from helicopters on up parked in South Vietnam, 5,000 aircraft, 500,000 troops, and we lost the war. That little red section on the map that says Hormuz, the red lines, that's the size of South Vietnam. Iran has bigger mountains than Colorado and higher, like 4,000 feet higher than Colorado mountains, 6 times bigger than Colorado. That's Iran. 90 million people. And these idiots, they must have amnesia. We couldn't win in Vietnam. And people will say, Matt, well, we were backstabbed by the lefties and the reporters and the politicians. How much longer would you have stayed in Vietnam? Would you have put in another 500,000? You know, the draft wasn't exactly popular. There were riots and demonstrations taking over cities in America. So how would we have won in Vietnam? Nuke Hanoi? What would we have done? Nuke the whole place? Turn it into a glass parking lot? Is that the solution? So even if we nuked Tehran and killed 10 million Iranians, that wouldn't open the Strait of Hormuz. That would make the diehards in that lower crescent even more determined to stop us forever. And yeah, it won't help the Iranian economy if the Strait of Hormuz is closed, but it will drag the entire world into a Great Depression. And it's a Great Depression that will be 100% blamed on Trump. You can throw up number six. It's got like a graph there. So Trump said, I don't want to be Herbert Hoover. That's when I think that Vance and some people were trying to talk sense to him. This is going to end badly. You are going to be going down in history, not as the greatest president ever, as the worst president. The president that led to a global depression, to refugee flows like we've never seen before. Entire countries in famine. And it'll all be, you know, that'll be put on you. I think that's when he signed the MOU. And he said, we've only got like 4 weeks of fuel left. And that's, but then he's back listening to Mark Levin and Bibi Netanyahu. Can you throw up that number five, the America First? You know, I still don't understand. And I'm thinking possibly it really is a blackmail situation. We found out from Trump has made a couple billion, Trump and the Trump family, $1 billion on these worthless meme coins that people have sent him the money. Now they're worth nothing, but he's worth extra billions. So I don't think you can say anymore that it's Edelman's money that's got him in thrall. It's got to be more than that. He doesn't need any more money donors. You know, he's going to be the president for the next 2 years. He's financially secure until he's, you know, in his grave. So is his family. Supposedly Barron is worth $150 million now. You know, it's really great knowing when when the Strait of Hormuz will be opened and closed, depending on insider knowledge that to play that over each weekend. But I think that there must be a blackmail element to this. Nothing else makes sense. And I'm not saying that Trump is in the Epstein files, but certainly his close friends like Howard Lutnick are, and many of his donors. And that's the pressure, you know, what's in the Epstein files, if it was fully released, could destroy any relationship with Israel, turn people totally against Israel. I think whatever the FBI has in the Epstein files is the redacted portion. I'm sure that Mossad in Israel has the full information. And I think that they're still controlling Trump that way. Yep. If you can put up, number eight? I forget where I saw this. It's the, this is the way that the rest of the world sees us now. When you know, you see these horrible pictures of Gaza or what's going on in Lebanon with entire villages being bombed with the biggest non-nuclear bombs ever made. We sent them the planes to drop the bombs. Those 2,000-pound bombs that turned Gaza into rubble were made in America. So this is a point that's not covered much in American media, but to the rest of the world, we're now joined at the hip. And I'm pretty sick of being that big dork with the mask on, having a little evil dwarf steer me around, you know, while I'm blindfolded. And whatever it takes, I'm ready to cut that relationship off completely. You know, earlier in the program, Alex was talking about, and he actually showed clips of this Professor Jiang. And as far as I'm concerned, the guy's a total psyop. You know, he was one of these YouTube sensations, calling himself professor, came out of nowhere, tremendous number of hits and likes and views. And like all good psyops, you have to have a very good message at first. You know, you have to make people believe you're really a smart guy. That's so that when you start loading the message in with, the payload of the message in with the stuff that you've been saying before to gain credibility, people will believe it. Him saying that we're going to put 600,000 troops into Iran, he is absolutely a psyop. In fact, if you look into it, he's not a professor. That's like me calling myself doctor. He's not a professor. He's a high school teacher in Beijing, China. Okay? It's a total psyop. It's a state-run total psyop. He speaks nice English, but getting one with Piers Morgan and saying we're preparing to put six. I heard another podcaster today saying, well, we're doing a kind of a coup in Iraq so that we can invade Iran through Iraq. Folks, this is all absolute nonsense. If you can put up number 7, it says U.S. bases. We used to have bases all around Iran. Now they're either empty or on the skeleton staff with their staff hiding out or moving in and running away before they risk being hit by missiles. We are no longer in a situation like we were in 1992 with Operation Desert Storm. In Desert Storm, we were able to load. Remember, looking at this map, that's when Saddam Hussein had come from Iraq and taken over Kuwait. All right. We spent most of a year bringing troops and tanks and artillery into ports there on the Persian Gulf in Saudi Arabia. And there was nothing Iraq could do about it. When the war went kinetic, they threw a couple of Scuds our way, but they were very inaccurate with a small payload. Today, Iran can hit a point target, like to within 10 meters, anywhere out to Israel and anywhere inside of that arc, anywhere in Saudi Arabia, or almost all of Saudi Arabia, but the whole Persian Gulf. We are not able anymore to enforce our will in the Persian Gulf area. I doubt we will ever rebuild those bases that have been wrecked. You know, when you say, well, the base wasn't wrecked, you know, the important stuff was wrecked. There are something like 14 of these giant radars and satellite uplinks. The satellite uplinks have a huge dish, like a 25-meter dish inside of a dome that allows the ground station to have an immense bandwidth to a constellation of satellites that are constantly passing over. Think of it as like super mega Starlink, right, where one American satellite is passing over with a huge bandwidth capability, and that uplink is what allows the information, for example, from the giant radar that's at the same base. The giant radar can peer way into Iran and pick up, for example, missiles going to Israel before they'd even cross the Persian Gulf. That's the important eyeball, that giant radar. And the giant satellite uplink is what feeds that information up to our constellation of satellites and down to the THAAD launchers and Patriot launchers in Israel or in Qatar or wherever. The Iranians were able to take out those eyes, like, you know, the Cyclops, the big monster with one eyeball, like somebody firing an arrow straight into it. So imagine the utility ratio of firing a $30,000 slow-moving, low-to-the-ground Shahed drone at a billion-dollar radar or a billion-dollar mega-satellite uplink and destroying it. And those were the keys to our defense. They couldn't be defended. Now they're blind, which means that if a missile's going to Israel, the warning time is cut way down. The THAAD launchers and Patriot launchers, they only have a satellite, almost like a tactical satellite, to lock on to a threat that's already been identified before coming over, so that the THAAD or the Patriot, for example, in Israel, is not scanning the whole sky. It's scanning right to where it expects that missile, the Iranian missile, to be coming in. It can't now. because those giant satellites uplinks and the giant radars were destroyed by Iran. This is a huge strategic loss. I mean, we have absolutely been driven out of the area, and I don't think we'll ever be coming back. Well, I'm running out of time. I'm sorry I didn't get to cover the birthright citizenship issue, but we'll see you next time. And, you know, you can always buy my great books. And we'll see you on the Internet.
About to tell you a great truth, but like most great truths, everybody already knows it. But do you act on it? How you look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. If you see your neighbor and they look all kind of green or stumbling around sweating, you're like, hey, Bob, are you sick? Yeah, I got the flu. If somebody's glowing and happy and looks super healthy, you ask them, hey, what are you doing to be so healthy? Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. You know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionists for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. The Alex Jones Store's bovine colostrum is a private label of the top brand in the country. It's up to 4 times stronger than leading competitors, and it's the strongest out there and the highest rated. It gives you all of the key ingredients at the highest quality level that hasn't been pasteurized, so it hasn't been heated up to ruin the cofactors that are in it. But as quickly as I can, I want to just read you some of what is in this bovine colostrum and announce to you that we don't just have the powder now. We have these naturally flavored, amazing grape gummies that are even more concentrated than the powder. A 1 month supply, 2 gummies a day, and it doesn't just do your hair, nails, and skin. That's the outward thing it does. It's what it does to your gut and your organs. The gummy format also habituates you because it tastes so good to remember to take it, and kids love it as well. 600 milligrams per serving, every 2 gummies, a clinically meaningful dose, not a token amount, but a strong dose that will really give you great results. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.